Should just start in the middle.
We should. Hi!
Hi, Robert!
Hi, Robert!
And anyone else who is still our faithful listener after these many, many chapters.
Yeah. It's also been a while since
we've
posted.
We're back.
But we're back.
Ready to rumble?
Yeah.
This
Rocky.
Yep.
I am the tiger, it's the thrill of the fight. I want to run up some stairs and yell Adrian.
Exactly. Punch the air.
Yeah. We're going to need to buy gray tracksuits though first.
Obviously. Yeah. Can we get the Adidas ones so we can also recreate Jerry Lewis?
Then they're, you know, I can't.
Now I'm going to do a mashup of Eye of the Tiger and Just One of the Guys. Do you think that could be done?
I totally think it could be.
I want to learn how to do a mashup. Like, that's like my life, one of my life goals. Like, yeah. I want to learn to play the guitar. I want to learn to swing dance.
I can kind of play the guitar.
Yeah.
Anyway.
You're already cooler than me. So
well, no, I was saying, like, I could, like, teach you some What I was saying is that I play some guitar so I could teach you some skills.
Oh.
That's where I was going with that.
Is that skills with a Z?
Yeah.
Okay.
Good. It was.
Good.
Evan, our friend.
Evan.
He doesn't really do mashups, but he, like, makes them up in his head. And he has a really good one that's, I think, it's the All-American Reject song, Give Me a Second.
Fine. I know you'll get it. I believe in you.
Gives You Hell.
Oh, yeah.
That one, and, I think it's Girlfriend by Avril Lavigne.
Yes.
And it's amazing. Like, he'll sing it to you, and I'm like, that should be a mashup. Glee, get on this!
Well, they already covered Gives You Hell in season 2, and they did... I don't think they ever did Girlfriend, but I gave up mid-season 3. You know why? Because it sucked.
There's this episode of The Office where they're watching Glee, and one of the characters is like, I stopped watching that because... And then she... She, like, goes on a rant for a while, and I was watching Glee at the time, and I was like, she totally makes sense, and then my favorite is she ends this rant with, like, honestly, that show, it's just irresponsible.
Yes!
And that's, like, one of my favorite things ever to say.
It's so amazing.
It is.
What was I gonna say about Glee?
I'm sorry.
Mashups. Oh, my roommate Natalie and I. Amazing Natalie. 120 Voices Natalie. Made a mashup. We were going to start a band. And we continued to have arguments over what we were going to name the band. But I think we ended with Predatory Lesbians.
Nice.
And
I have a band name.
What is your band name?
Comic Strip Onomatopoeia.
Nice!
I really want to make it.
That's a good band name.
Thank you. I don't really have a lot of skills in being in a band. But I just really want Comic Strip Onomatopoeia to be a thing.
I think band name creation is your strength.
Right? And I feel like people would just eventually shorten the nickname down to Comic Strip.
Yeah,
and it'd be that cool, like, have you guys heard the new Comic Strip album?
Right.
Anyway.
Or Comic Strip,
Yeah.
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 Yeah. Or maybe they just call you, like, Pow.
I was gonna say, it'd be kind of, yeah.
Like, that could be the nickname.
Yeah.
Comic Strip Onomatopoeia. Oh, that doesn't, like, the...
Yeah, because Comic Strip Onomatopoeia, like, you gotta...
Yeah.
You fight your way to the onomatopoeia. Well, but it's still good.
That's the way onomatopoeias are, man. You just gotta fight your way through to them. But anyway, Natalie and I were gonna do a mashup, and Natalie actually recorded it using, like, re-recording all the tracks. A mashup of, The Beatles... You Say Goodbye, I Say Hello.
Mm-hmm.
Taylor Swift, We Are Never Getting Back Together.
Mm-hmm.
And
similar themes.
I don't remember what the other one was. There was a third one that was basically like, I love you and I'll never let you go sort of thing. Kelly Clarkson, perhaps? But then I can't remember what... Oh, what's Kelly Clarkson's like?
That song. Yeah.
My life would suck without you!
That was amazing. I can't believe
it. I think we're both just like singing through the song in our head, right?
We did, yeah.
We are now 5 minutes in. Should we mention what book we're doing?
Yes, but first.
Oh, yes.
There, side note on Kelly Clarkson.
Five minutes of side notes, Carrie.
Yes, I know. But Kelly Clarkson was brought up. And for like 3 days now, in my head, I've been saying, I will not hook up. I go slow. It's been stuck in my head for like 5 days.
I don't know the song at all.
It's a Kelly Clarkson song. And I don't know where it came from.
Probably Kelly Clarkson.
Well, right. I just don't know why it's in my head.
Oh, because you're a hipster and you don't listen to Kelly Clarkson. Too good for that.
I don't really... I
mean, I'll admit
to... I'll dabble.
Okay.
But I'm not a huge Kelly Clarkson
enthusiast. I did just say that judgmentally when I confessed that I've been listening to Taylor Swift for basically 2 days straight.
Right.
Yeah. Not even the new album. Let me be clear here. I haven't even been, like... I've been listening to, like, classic Taylor Swift.
Nice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Should we... We're, like, 6 minutes in,
Let's do this.
We are in Harry Potter number 5, Harry Potter and the Order of the Phoenix, aka Harry Potter and being an emo kid.
Being so emo.
Like, he needs to throw on some eyeliner and listen to My Chemical Romance.
Oh, good ref.
Like, thank you. Like, the old albums, not that new one that actually brought, like, happiness in their lives.
No.
And, yeah.
I mean, to be fair... He did just watch Cedric die, and the Dark Lord return from the dead.
He's dealing with some shit right now.
This is untreated PTSD.
This is... he's going through some stuff.
So a thing that I noticed in reading as or listening as far as I've gotten is that J.K. leaves off doing the rehashing of physical descriptions of Harry Potter.
Oh, I'm gonna miss that.
I know. Yeah. But she does rehash anything that happened in book 4.
Mm.
So books 1 through 3 are now expected to be understood, but book 4, apparently.
But book 4, we don't know.
Apparently.
I say we never, ever physically describe anyone ever again.
Okay, perfect.
In this podcast.
That's gonna be very difficult with, like, Umbridge.
Well, new characters.
Okay,
will.
New characters, fine.
But, like, old characters?
Yeah, that's,
You just have to know what they look like or make it
we
up.
We are gonna get into many, many, many new characters.
I'm excited.
Yeah, let's do this. So, our story begins, as it often does...
On Privet Drive.
On Privet Drive. Number 4 Privet Drive. Specifically, yes. In the bushes of number 4 Privet Drive.
Dun, dun, dun.
Dun, dun, dun!
Didn't book no. number two... Okay.
Go ahead.
Didn't book number two start in the bushes of Privet Drive? Or no, Dobby was in the bushes.
Dobby was in the bushes. Yes.
I was like, there has been bushes in Privet Drive.
The Grim is in the bushes. In book 3.
No, but... Dobby's, doesn't he see his eyes?
I thought that was in book 3, when he sees the shape, and then puts up his wand, and then the night
disappears. No, that happens.
Oh, okay.
But I feel like in book 2, he sees Dobby's eyes.
I thought the first
bush.
Time he saw Dobby was just when he appeared in his bed.
Oh.
Looking like a small, medium, large cat.
Right. You could be right. I don't
Eternal
know.
Eternal reference! Oh! Elephants less than humans!
Elephants less than humans!
Why does anyone still listen to this?
I don't know.
Because we're amazing. Because
we're amazing. I really hope my aunt is listening to this and just heard Elephants Less Than Humans again. Did I tell you that was her status?
Yeah, exactly.
Amazing. Okay.
Great.
So, we're in the bushes of Privet Drive. And if you recall from book 4, Cedric is dead.
Yep.
Voldy's back.
Yep.
That's kind of all we need right now.
That's basically it.
Yeah. So...
The Dark Lord has risen again. The Dark Lord who, like... mayhem, destruction, murder, all of the very, very bad things ever in the whole wizarding world that guy has returned.
He's risen to power with awesome black robes.
Yep.
And so Harry is back in the Muggle world. He's living on Privet Drive with the Dursleys.
Yep.
And
the Americans.
The Americans. And he's laying in the bushes because he's listening to the news.
Mm-hmm.
Because the Dursleys have grown suspect of his preoccupation with listening to the news. Like, they're like, what are you doing? You're, like, 15. Why do you care about this?
You shouldn't care. You're not a normal boy.
Yeah. You're weird.
And
stop
also,
watching the news.
There won't be any news about any of your lot.
Right.
On our proper news.
Exactly. You should be watching The Daily Show.
Right?
Or nothing.
I don't know. I feel like, who's going to cover... In an American setting. BBC will cover it in Britain. But,
right.
Like, in an American setting, who's going to cover the reemergence of Lord Voldemort? Because I feel like we could argue for The Daily Show, right? But I wonder if it would be, like, Fox News.
It would either be Fox News.
Right.
But they would be, like, whatever. I think it'd be CNN. Okay. Because they have a 24-hour news cycle to fill up, and they'll talk about anything for any length of time.
You know, I think really when we get further into books 5, 6, and 7, we will find that it's somewhat like Ferguson. Is that, like, the real reporting is happening, like, on Twitter and via social media.
Uh-huh.
And that the approved networking media sources are not reporting accurately.
Sorry. That's kind of what's happening now.
Yeah, basically that's what's happening. So, yeah. Harry Potter is listening to the Muggle news because...
So, never mind.
Are you sure?
I was trying to make a comparison that would be like The Onion. Like, actually, but it's not The Onion.
The Onion's more like The Quibbler.
Right.
We'll get into that.
Well, yeah. Once we get into that, I'll bring up The Onion again.
Okay.
So, Harry's trying to listen to Muggle news for wizard stuff.
Unexplained deaths.
Right.
Massive bad things.
Like massive like natural disasters, like a bridge collapsed. Yep. Blah, but it's actually probably wizards.
Yeah.
Is this the one where Fudge goes and meets with Muggle Minister?
No, because as we will find out later, Fudge is still actively denying that Voldemort has risen.
Oh, yes. No, it's Fudge.
I believe it's Fudge.
Okay.
But I believe it's in book 6.
Okay. I'm going to set this down because I feel weird having it.
So, he's listening for strangeness, Muggle deaths, bad things, etc.
Yeah.
And, so he listens through, like, all, like, there's a number of insipid Muggle things, including, like, our weatherman has taken up water skiing, let's go over to Barry and hear about this exciting new way to, except it's in British.
Right.
Let's go over to Barry and hear about this exciting new way to stay cool during one of the hottest summers on record. Barry,
oh, yeah, it's a super hot away. Summer.
Isn't it? Yeah, it's a super hot summer.
Yeah.
No rain. Yeah, that's right. They can't water their lawns. So, like, everybody on Privet Drive has been prohibited from watering their lawns because of the drought.
And but people are pissed.
They're doing it secretly at night and then accusing each other of doing it secretly at night.
Yeah, but they're all doing it. So.
Like, as if you can't see when water sprinklers are on by the streetlights.
Right.
Or the sound, or the wetness.
Yeah.
Like,
or the fact that your grass is green.
Right? So that's happening.
Yeah. So Harry's doing that, and something happens.
He hears a crack, like a an apparating or disapparating noise. And so he jumps up from the bushes, smacks his head on the windowsill, Petunia and Vernon stick their heads out the window and are like, what are you doing in the bushes?
You're weird.
You're weird. We don't like that.
Yeah.
We will punish you.
Yeah.
But mostly by yelling.
And then Harry... isn't Harry then like, whatever? And
yeah, basically he's like, whatever. And he walks away.
Walks away. He like goes for a walk. Yeah. Because he's hashtag
nobody,
emo kid.
Nobody in this house understands me.
No one understands me.
I mean, for Harry, that's actually true, but...
Right, but still. So he goes on a walk and ends up running into Dudley's gang?
He...
Question mark?
Hangs out on the playground for a while.
Yeah.
And then hears Dudley's gang.
Oh, yeah.
But he actually doesn't run into them. He, like, wants them to come over and find him. Because he knows that Dudley's... Like, Dudley's afraid of Harry. Because he's still afraid that, like, Harry could do something magical. Even though he knows he's not supposed to outside of school.
But... Maybe this is just a movie thing, but I think... No, it's in the book that Harry has started carrying his wand around.
Yes.
Because freaking Voldemort's around. So, Harry has his wand, so he's more of a threat now to Dudley, too. Because he could potentially actually do something.
Yes, exactly.
Continue.
And so, Harry's like... Oh, Harry's angry because... He keeps writing all these letters to Ron and Hermione, like, what's going on? Why isn't, I'm getting the Muggle news, I'm getting the Daily Prophet, the Wizard newspaper, and, like, nobody's reporting the fact that Voldemort has risen from the freaking dead.
Oh, yeah, the Daily Prophet.
Not covering it.
That's their main news source, it's the main newspaper, which it's the Wizard world, so people are actually reading newspapers, and they're not covering it at all. So, and I think it says in the book that, like, Harry at first is, like, combing every single, like, page or whatever. And by now he's just, like, looking at the headlines and then throwing it.
Because he's like, well...
It's not being talked about.
The Return of Lord Voldemort's going to be headline news. If it's not there, screw it.
So he's getting no news.
No news.
Of anything.
Hasn't heard any... Like, Ron and Hermione have indicated in their letters that they're together somewhere. And so he assumes they're at the Burrow and he's super pissed because, like, they're having fun without him and they like to hang out and he's stuck in the Muggle world. All alone, and it sucks.
Yeah. And they can't really say anything about, like, what's happening.
They won't say anything, yeah.
Right.
He's like, what the...
Right. He's like, are we, like, going after Voldemort? Like, what's going on? They're like...
Hope to see you very soon!
Hope to see you soon! We're doing stuff!
Can't tell you about it.
XOXO Tyra. I've been watching a lot of America's Next Top Model.
What?
Watching a lot of America's Next Top Model. I'm sorry, it's just really addicting.
Alright.
Anyway.
Alright.
So, he's on the playground. Sees Dudley's gang, kind of wants him to come over.
Yeah, he wants to, like, take out his frustration on them.
Yeah, he's like, I'll just punch someone.
I think he says he feels like his frustration is coiled inside him like a snake.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Dang.
Well, I think, no.
Well, no, I get that, but, like, way to go, Rowling.
I know, right?
Or Rowling.
Rowling, like bowling.
Rowling, like bowling.
We could just call her,
I'm American, I bastardize things, we can call her Rowling. Joanne.
Thank you.
Yeah,
I love,
it's okay.
Okay, you guys, you don't understand. I just had a panicked look on my face. The only sentence I had been able to get out was, I love. And then I just have this panicked look on my face. And Carrie is able to interpret that I cannot remember the name of J.K. Rowling and that I am panicking about it.
It's okay. It's
this
fine.
Is a deep-running friendship.
This
I hope
is.
Everyone understands.
And quite quickly forming. Like... It was formed, like,
yes,
the...
there was the moment.
The understanding was formed quickly.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah, there was a... Yeah.
So, Joanne writes very eloquently.
So, anyway, he wants Dudley's gang to see him and come over and go to him, because, like, Dudley runs around with these kids. Dudley's also taken up boxing, so he can now punch even harder.
Yep.
And, so he runs around, like, beating up little kids with his other, like, 15-year-old friends, and... So Harry wants the gang to see him, because the gang will, like, want to attack Harry, but Dudley's too afraid.
Right, and he's like...
Harry's like, I want to see that.
Yeah.
But they don't see him.
No.
So he just follows Dudley home, because he needs to be home around the same time as Dudley.
Does he start, like, picking on Dudley, too?
Yeah, he does. He kind of, like, goads him. He's like, hey, who were you beating up tonight? Some, like, 10-year-old?
Yeah.
Like,
you Big need to D.
Take... Oh, yeah, that's right. He finds out his friends call him Big D, so he's just like, oh, does that mean I can't you call you, like, Dudleykins?
Yeah.
Like, Mom does, and...
Dudley's like, shut up, Harry.
Shut up, Harry. Shut up, Harry.
Which, during this part, I'm like, Harry!
He's
like,
trying to pick a fight.
Like, I understand that you're angry and you want to fight, and I understand that Dudley is a freaking jerk American, but, like,
right.
Harry, get it together!
No,
like,
he just wants
come
to...
Come on,
wants
man!
To take out all of his anger on his cousin. And I don't remember what... happens that Harry gets his wand out. I don't remember what Dudley says. Dudley must take a dig at his parents.
In the movie, he says, which I think that's in the, I think that's
Maybe.
Book
okay,
two.
Do it.
That he hears Harry at night crying and screaming out.
Yes, he says,
for
Cedric. You're not so brave at night, are you?
Yeah. And Harry's like, what? And then Dudley's like, I hear you at night screaming, like, no, not Cedric.
Don't kill him.
Don't kill Cedric. And
Mommy, Daddy,
mommy,
help me, he's gonna kill me.
Yeah.
Who? And then he says, who's Cedric, your boyfriend?
Yeah.
That's in the book, too.
Which,
Dudley,
like... And his love of heteronormativity.
That's fucking Americans! Excuse me, sorry my language. Put a dollar in the jar. the podcast jar. American homophobia. What?
Vernon and Petunia are, like, the definition of heteronormativity. Like, that's all they want.
Yeah.
Sorry, that just seemed like a, like, big revelation in my life. But I feel like... Yeah, anyway.
I mean, we can get into the sort of, like, Peter Pan nature of the first book, where, like, Harry's raised in a heteronormative household and then gets spirited away by a bearded man to a place that's named diagonally, as in running in the
right.
opposite direction of straight.
Yeah. I'm enjoying this.
So, queer theory. But that's pretty much
as
queer theory goes. And then it's like, and then we take him off to a place and teach him magic, which is apparently a metaphor for gayness.
Well, that's
which dumb. I would actually, I mean, I'm not supposed to tell you, but that is actually true. It's, gay people are secretly magic.
Are you gonna have to kill me now?
No, it's fine.
Okay. Can I just be like, you're, like, the straight person that kind of hangs out around you guys, but you guys all kind of make fun of?
I wouldn't make fun of you.
Well, I mean, not, like, make fun of, but, like, you can't do magic.
I mean, you're kind of a squib, yeah.
I'm a little bit of a squib. I just hang around all
Yeah. But no, it actually, the problem is Hollywood already knows this, and we're trying to keep it under wraps, but it's really difficult, because, like, check out every gay character, every gay side character in all movies always has, like, perfect advice.
It's true.
Look at Angel in Rent. Literally magic.
Oh, yeah. There's no...
Can run up walls.
No doubt in my mind that Angel is magical.
The rest of them are kind of whatever. Except for Joanne. Joanne's my girl.
Collins.
Oh, that's true.
Also can we Collins. Please talk about Collins?
Also Collins.
Thank you.
Also Collins.
I'm sorry, but I love that man.
I feel like your affinity for Collins and your affinity for Lupin are connected. Huh. I just, somehow they're like very, they're both like these sort of fatherly, brotherly figures
mm-hmm.
that are ostracized by regular society, but really fight for justice and family within their own like small community.
Yeah. Huh, I haven't thought about that.
Yeah.
God, I do love both of them, like, a lot, too.
Yeah.
I was going to say something else about how they're connected, but I don't remember what it was now.
I mean, they both got...
Oh, both I feel like they both, they're both infected. But I feel like they both also, like, they're good guys. Mm-hmm. And, like, they mainly follow the rules, but they also have a streak of, like...
Yeah.
Mischief in them. Yeah, absolutely. Or, like, humor and stuff. Like...
Yeah.
Like, you know, Lupin was, like, a prefect or whatever.
Right,
but
right.
he hung out with Sirius and James.
Right.
Like, which I think is kind of who I am, but. I would like to break more rules,
yeah, I was
going to
say,
don't.
You think you break rules?
No, I don't
you break
rules.
You
break
any rules?
No, probably not.
No.
But like,
we're
I would.
We're going to be exploring that when the podcast is on.
No, but like, I would be the one that would follow the rules, but hang out
sure.
with the rule breakers.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. That's true.
Anyway.
So anyway,
we're like two pages into the book and we're 20 minutes into the podcast.
No, we're like a good half of the chapter in.
Okay, so Harry pulls out his wand for some reason.
Yeah, because Dudley,
Dudley's making fun of him.
And then I think Dudley grabs him. Dudley hits him in the head in the book.
Okay, I don't remember
because
how
he's
that works.
No, I'm sorry. Everything goes dark. Like, as if the lights have been shut off, except they're in an alleyway.
Oh, yeah!
Everything goes dark, and everything gets very cold, and Harry's like, oh, snap.
And is it just in the movie or is it in the book, too, that Dudley's like, what are you doing?
Yeah, Dudley freaks out. He's like, you've got your wand out, what are you doing?
What are you doing? And Harry's like, I'm not doing this.
Yeah. And in the book, Dudley punches him.
Yeah.
And he drops his wand. So he has to grip for it.
Try and find it.
And so, like, Harry knows what's going on, is that it's a Dementor attack.
Yeah.
So he's, like... In the book, he's freaking out, he's on the ground, he's groping around for his wand, you know, in the sort of comic way that you see people do for, like, their glasses in movies. And I think the cool thing is he says, even though he doesn't have the wand yet, he says Lumos, and the wand responds to mm-hmm. him. It's, like, 4 inches from his hand, and it responds, because, like, he and his wand have, like, a bond.
He and his wand is just beautiful. Like, I can't even, it's just... Which is why the seventh movie makes me so angry.
Oh!
We will get to that, because I just...
We will do the book version,
like,
and it will be better.
Yes, because I just want to, like, stab
oh,
something every time.
We should, do is we should
time.
Just end it with Creature bringing him a sandwich in book 7, and then just no epilogue.
Yes.
Duh. But then we'll just go into our epilogue.
I was going to say, we're going to have our own epilogue.
Harry Potter
by the way,
cheap flat.
Sneak peek for you people.
That's right.
Listening to this podcast, what's going to happen...
Get excited.
Get excited. Is that we're going to get through all the books...
Yep.
And then, Emmy and I have created our own epilogue of Harry Potter and the cheap London flat, which is going to be the characters that survive in their, like, early 20s.
Yep.
And it's going to be magical.
Quarter-life crises.
Yeah. It's going to be magical.
In all ways.
I didn't even try, which is the sad thing. Like, I didn't
That's okay.
It was a pun until I said it.
Well, you did it. It's unintentional puns are the
unintentional.
Best.
So get excited for that. Back in book 5.
Right.
So, everything's getting really dark.
Oh, right.
It's like, and things are freezing. Harry's like, Dementors. So, he says Lumos, and his wand lights up, and he runs and grabs it. And then...
I was driving to Madison listening to this, and I wanted to call you and be like, Carrie! Because what happens is, he tries to produce a Patronus and he can't.
Right.
Like, he just, like, silver wisp of vapor.
Yep.
And he tries to produce a Patronus again, but he, like, just feels like all of the happiness has gone from the world.
Uh-huh. Because he's already in a depressive state.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, he's all, like... Not only, like, okay, so for Expecto Patronum to work, As we know from previous books, but I'm going to reiterate.
Right.
You need to yell Expecto Patronum, but you also need to, like, have a happy memory and have it fill you, because that will feed the Patronus, and then the Dementors feed on that instead of you.
Mm-hmm. And it can chase you. It can chase them away.
And it can chase them away, because it's badass. And...
yeah.
But Harry, in a depressive state, mm-hmm. isn't going to be able to fill himself with that much happiness or produce a Patronus.
And because the Dementors suck your happiness, then, like, if one's kind of already got you, it's really hard to produce a Patronus.
Right.
So, Harry is just, like, giving in to this, like, I mean, it reads like depression when you read it. Like, it's just of this, like, despair, and he'll never see anything good again, and he will never see Ron and Hermione, mm-hmm. is his thought. And then their faces flash in his mind, and it fills him with hope. Mm-hmm. And that's what makes him strong enough to cast a Patronus.
That's I know, so I was like, amazing!
Harry! The power of friendship!
Oh, that's amazing.
Yeah, and so then he's able to, like, he shouts Expecto Patronum, and the beautiful silver-white stag erupts from the end of his wand, and it catches the Dementor on its antlers and throws it.
Yeah.
And then,
God, his Patronus is so awesome.
It's so great.
I'm just saying, like, yeah, anyway, continue.
This corporeal Patronus.
Yeah.
And so then Harry, like, knows that Dudley is somewhere down the alley from him, and so he's like, this way! And he, like, is charging with the Patronus, like, running behind him, and they catch the other Dementor trying to suck on Dudley's face.
Mm-hmm. Which is that's particularly right. scary for Dudley,
yeah.
because he's a muggle and can't see the Dementors.
Right.
So, all Dudley knows is that it's dark, and everything is cold, and all of a sudden he, like, feels like he'll never be happy again.
Never.
Like, he's, mm-hmm. yeah. Like, he can't see the Dementors feeding on him, but he just feels this way, which is... highly depressing.
Yeah.
I think it's also a good metaphor for, like, depression.
Yeah, absolutely. I think, didn't J.K. Rowling say she created the Dementors as a symbol for her own, like, struggle with mental illness and depression?
I think so, yeah.
I think I remember reading that somewhere.
Yeah.
And I was like, yeah, that's exactly how it feels.
Yep.
And if you eat chocolate, sometimes you feel a little better.
Sometimes you feel a little better.
I mean, like, once you get rid of the bad thing.
Right, yeah.
Chocolate itself.
Yeah. Sad fact, I was actually reading this, this book when, like, my whole internship thing went down, and, like, could not continue reading it, because I was like, this is too real, and then, like, just walked away. Mm. Now I'm better, I can read it again, but, like, okay. I was like, that must be a really strong portrayal, like, she must really know what that's like in order to, like, elicit that response, and I was like, way to go, Joanne.
Yeah, it's absolutely accurate for, yeah.
Also, super cool to get it into the hands of, like, teenagers who
right,
might
exactly.
be struggling
so
with
say,
that
like,
and could give language to it.
Yep.
And normativity
or
to
give it to 20-somethings who can then send each other comic strips that say...
amazing things.
Yeah, exactly. When I first met her, she took my breath away. That's how I should have known she was a Dementor. Carrie sent me that. Why did Carrie send me that? Because Carrie is one of the greatest friends I've ever had.
It made me laugh really hard.
It was so great.
I was like, Abby!
Someone else went through a really bad breakup, like, last week, and I sent that to them.
Oh!
So we're just passing the love along.
That makes me happy.
Mm-hmm. Anyway, so the stag, Patronus stag,
yep.
tosses off the second Dementor.
Yep.
And Harry's like, come on, Dudley, come on, we gotta, like, let's get out of here. Let's go home. And Dudley is, like, not moving.
Yeah.
Just quivering, massive lump.
Yeah, like...
And someone appears in the alleyway, and Harry's like, shoot. And he starts to put his wand away, and the voice says, don't put it away, boy, there might be more of them. And he's like, a wizard! A wizard!
Finally, someone from the wizarding world.
Yeah, and he's like, I gotta ask them questions. They must have been the one who I heard, like, crack, and they apparated.
Yeah.
But it's Mrs. Fig.
Yes. Good old Mrs. Fig, who, if you remember from book one,
mm-hmm.
Used to, well, I guess probably still did,
babysat
Harry, and she would
show him pictures of her cats.
Pictures of her cats. I always get confused because on The Simpsons,
yes.
Principal Skinner's mother babysits Bart one time, and she makes him look at pictures of cake.
Oh,
and
he
was like,
I think Mrs. Fig does serve him, like, rock cakes or something similar.
Yeah.
Like, something bad.
So there's something with cake, but yeah. Because I always think of The Simpsons because they're, like, looking at cakes and Bart's like, do you have any real cake? And she's like, no, that's much too sweet. And then says something, and then he's like, can we have this cake? And she goes, you can't have that one. That's a coconut cake. And I don't know why, but I laugh so hard every time. Because, like, why would he not be able to have coconut cake versus all the other cakes?
Maybe he's allergic to coconut. Maybe she thinks you can't get coconut in, like, non-coconut places.
Maybe.
My brother mailed a coconut to me. Like, he put the house address on the coconut and put it in the mail.
That's amazing.
Uh-huh. This is back in the 90s when the Postal Service would let you do things like that. I think probably now they'd be like, nope.
They'd probably be like, yeah, that's not
put in a box.
By the way, it is one of my life dreams to have Ken Burns make a documentary about the Postal Service. I want to think, not the band either, like the United States Postal Service. I really want to know how it works and like how it got started and its entire history. And I want Ken Burns to tell me.
I feel like they need to invest that money because
right,
the Postal Service gets a very bad rap.
Yeah, and I feel like it, a little Ken Burns publicity would
I
go along.
I agree with you.
I have tweeted this idea to him. He has not gotten back to me.
Just keep persisting. Remember what happened with Jay and Silent Bob?
That's true.
So, Mrs. Fig says to Harry, don't put your wand away. And he's like, yeah, it's a
tad. You're just a muggle lady across the street. Yeah. What do you know?
She's not a muggle lady.
You're welcome.
But she says, but I'm useless if they come back. And he's like, I don't know why you're saying that, if you know what they are.
Yeah.
And so, like, he's trying to haul Dudley, who's, like, twice his size, and trying to get him home. Because Mrs. Fig is like, let's get out of the street, blah, blah, blah. And she's going off about Mundungus and how much trouble he's
Mundungus
going to be.
Mundungus Fletcher.
Mundungus Fletcher! I told him not to go off with and to leave his shift early, and Dumbledore will hear about this! And Harry's like, you've been talking to Dumbledore? What does he say? Does he like me? Why hasn't he been talking to me?
Why hasn't he been talking to me? What's going on?
I want to know what's going on in the wizarding world.
And by the way, how the hell do you know all these people?
Right, exactly. So yeah, there's just some monologuing while he's hauling Dudley.
And she's just kind of like angrily ranting to herself.
Yeah, she doesn't even really answer most of Harry's questions. Yeah. But you gather that
she is a squib,
right? So wizard born.
Have we covered squibs?
I don't know that we have.
So, okay.
The movie never does, I don't think.
The movie never does. And
Mrs. Fig.
One of my favorite aspects to a character is that, anyway, okay, so a squib.
Oh, Filch.
Yep. So, Hermione Granger is a witch. Her parents are muggles, right? Turns out that can have, the opposite can also happen, where two.
Witch and a wizard.
Yeah, it had a witch and a wizard have a baby.
Thanks for trying to be gender neutral.
I was like, I was trying, but we're gonna need
to be heterosexual.
We're gonna need to have a male and a female.
I wonder
in this
if it's possible to reproduce sans, you know, not normal heterosexuality in the wizarding world.
I don't think they have the technology.
I'm gonna ponder this while you're explaining.
Okay, well I'll explain. You ponder, and then we'll come back for your
ponder.
Well, I suppose it's Revelations.
Not an animagus. What's Tonks?
She's a,
when you can transform yourself a lot?
I know.
So what if you transformed yourself into the other gender?
Well, and you'd have to impregnate yourself.
Well, you could impregnate somebody. Like, if you had two women who were together, and one transformed themselves into a man and impregnated the other.
Would they have the physical abilities?
Yeah, because two ovaries have enough DNA to do it. Two men couldn't do it. Although, maybe you could magic that. Oh my gosh, the possibilities are endless! do a whole separate podcast called Querying Harry Potter. Has anyone ever asked this? I will check Tumblr.
Okay, please do that. So, back to what a squib is. When apparently two wizards, two witches, or a wizard and a witch have a baby, I still think you need two people at least. So when two magical people have a child, they can also
polyamory.
Yeah. They can also, they may not have magical powers. It's not like a, like, immediate thing. Fun fact, Neville's grandmother was worried that he was a squib for a long time, then he finally showed, like, some magical.
They used to, like his uncle used to dangle him by his ankles.
Yeah.
From things to see if he could, like, do anything.
Or, like, did they throw him into, like, a lake or something?
Yeah, they threw him in a lake.
Yeah, just to
but
see if, like.
One time, his uncle was hanging him outside of a window, by his ankles, mm-hmm. and then got distracted and accidentally dropped him, and he bounced. And they were like, oh my gosh, he's a wizard!
Yep. Oh, Neville. But this is an aspect of one of Argus Filch, the caretaker at Hogwarts, who kind of sucks. He's mean. But I think it really speaks to his character that he is a squib. And at some point, Harry is in his office, and Filch leaves for some reason. Like, he's,
this is when he steals the Mortar's map.
I think it is. Mm. Harry sees on his desk that he has some, that on Argus Filch's desk that he has some flyers, and it's like for squibs to learn magic. Like, he's trying to, he's trying to basically join the world that he's a part of, and you know. And then Filch comes back, realizes Harry saw that, and like gets really angry and sends him out. But I just really think that that speaks a lot to who Filch is and why he's so upset, because he's, I mean, hanging out in this world that he's not a part of. Like, he knows all about magic. Obviously, people in his family are able to do magic. He's at one of the best wizarding schools in the world, and he can't participate in that.
Probably why he's so angry. Yeah.
Yeah.
I was thinking about that in reference to Seamus, because Seamus Finnegan is, his dad's a muggle, mom's a witch. And how do you raise the kid? Like, do you raise him in the muggle world until he goes to Hogwarts? Or do you raise him in the wizarding world and, like, your partner is always left out?
Yeah,
I feel like a mixed muggle-wizard marriage would be really difficult.
Yeah. I feel like you would, I think a lot would depend on, like, if the kid has magical abilities. Sure. Like, if Seamus didn't, then I feel like it'd be a lot easier for his mom to be, like, just not really use magic all that much. Like, probably still let him know that it exists, but not, you know, like, but they probably wouldn't be as a part of that world as they would now, because Seamus does have magical abilities.
Right.
So, yeah, how do you, like, raise a kid and be, like...
Like, until age 11-ish, or whenever you know that the kid has got some magical skills.
And even, like, do you send him to muggle school?
Yeah, like, you have to send... I mean, all of the kids go to muggle school, right? Or do wizarding kids...
Do wizards go... I don't think wizards go to muggle school.
So there's, like, secret private wizarding school, or, like, public wizarding schools just hanging out all over London where the kids go from 5 to 11, but then get to Hogwarts and don't know each other? Wait a second, we have a huge gap here.
Here's what I'm thinking. I don't think wizard kids go to school at all. I don't think they go to school until they go to Hogwarts.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Like, they're homeschooled?
I mean,
like, they know basic math, right, I hope, because they don't learn any at Hogwarts.
And they know how to learn, like, to read and write, obviously.
They can write up with quills, so yeah.
Yeah, and they have to, as we've said in previous podcasts, they have to come to school knowing how to write an essay, because I really think that it's wizarding parents teaching them.
Wow.
Maybe they have cool, like, neighborhood societies where, like, everyone goes to, like,
that'd be cute,
Mrs. Weasley's house, and they all, like, learn for the day, and...
That's cute. I like that.
Oh, that'd be adorable. Let's have that. Let's let that happen. Okay.
There's a tiny wizarding... Well, I guess they do...
It's like a one-room school.
Most wizards do live in, like, wizarding communities.
Right.
So that makes sense.
Yeah.
But then it doesn't make sense that they all get to Hogwarts and they don't know each other. I mean, like, you could see them not knowing Hermione because she's muggle-born, but, like,
but
Ron and Draco should have known each other. Well, I guess they probably don't. They don't live in the same neighborhood.
No. And they know of each other.
Yeah, that's true. Because Ron knows
the others.
Yeah, that's true.
Okay. Like, I don't know if there's anything in there in the books that prove wizard kids don't know each other. Because,
Harry
doesn't know anyone, but it's written from his point of view.
You're right. You're absolutely right.
You know what I'm saying?
As usual.
Well, you know.
Point to Harry.
Yes, Harry Potter.
I
feel like Dean Thomas and Seamus Finnegan were friends before they came to Hogwarts.
Oh, little tiny Dean, little tiny Seamus. Like, 5 years old running around causing havoc in their kindergarten.
Oh. Also.
Yes.
So, this has gone on for a really long time.
I don't care.
But here's my thing. Okay, so, I feel like they know each other just because I want them to.
Sure.
But, I don't think there's a huge wizard population. Because if you think about it, like, okay, let's take, like, okay, Gryffindor boys.
I already know what you're about to
in
say,
one
and
year.
I agree with you.
Okay, Gryffindor boys in 1 year.
Yep.
It's Neville, Harry, Ron, Dean, Seamus.
Right, there's five of them.
There's five of them.
Yeah.
So let's say that's about the norm, because that's all I can go
off
of.
That's, yeah, we have no other way.
So let's say there's, like, 10 kids. So then let's say there's also five girls.
Right.
I think we know of, like, three, but whatever. If even that.
I don't think we even know of that. I think we know of literally one.
I think we know Hermione, and isn't Lavender brown?
Yes, Lavender's also a
Gryffindor. And the one of the Patils.
Yeah, Pavarti.
Yeah.
Let's just say.
So we'll just say there's five in there, too, yeah. because that's fine.
Yep.
So there's, like, 10 there. There's four yeah. houses. Let's say there's 40.
Give a, yeah.
So there's 40 kids in each class.
For the entirety of England.
And Hogwarts is all of England. I guess so.
That's amazing.
I mean, I guess it would make sense that, God, that's a really small community. That's a tiny community. I mean, unless, like, yeah, yeah.
No, I agree with you. That's amazing. I've never thought about it that way.
Neither have I.
In, like, the population comparison to England.
Yeah.
Wow.
I really enjoyed the whole diatribe. I hope everyone just enjoyed, bless me. You, mm-hmm. just enjoyed that, because that was
amazing.
That was a fun realization.
That was really cool.
Anyway, I have no idea where we are in the story.
We're still trying to get Dudley home after being demented. Dudley's freaking out. Mrs. Fig won't really give Harry much information. They get him to the Dursleys and she leaves.
Yeah.
Pretty much what happens.
Yeah.
And
I don't think the Dursleys care for her very much.
No. Well, she doesn't care for them, I think.
Yeah. That's true. I think they actually kind of like her because she doesn't. Oh, yeah. Doesn't she say something about how, like, she couldn't treat Harry super well because
yeah,
she wanted him to keep coming to her?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. If you liked coming, your aunt and uncle never would have sent you.
Yeah.
So, Harry gets in the house and Dudley is totally, Dudley's still demented. Like, he's just freaking out and cold and shaky and, Petunia and Uncle Vernon just freak out. Oh, dear Duddykins, what happened? Blah, blah, blah. And Harry's like, I'm just gonna go be in my room. You guys can fawn over him. I'm just gonna... And so he's got his foot on the bottom step. And he hears, I think, Vernon say, who did this to you, boy? And there's this final... Dudley finally speaks. And he says, him! And Harry turns and Dudley is pointing at him.
Mm-hmm.
So, of course, Vernon and Petunia completely lose their cool. And they're screaming and yelling and blah, 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 blah. And... Dudley says, like, he used you-know-what, and Harry's like, I did not, blah, blah, blah. So then there's all this shouting.
Yeah.
Because, yeah, Dudley, again, still thinks that Harry cast whatever spell it made that everything went dark.
In the midst of this, an owl comes.
Oh, right. Oh, gosh.
So there's all this yelling because the Dursleys are angry at Harry for doing, for whatever, for Dudley's catatonic state. And
yes.
An owl comes in, drops off a letter, and it's from Mafalda Hopkirk.
Correct.
Well who done. Says, thank you. I was hoping that was right. That says, it has been made known, or I don't remember.
Yeah, the ministry.
The exact wording. But the ministry knows that Harry produced a Patronus in the presence of a muggle.
Mm-hmm.
And is underage.
Right.
So
therefore violating the underage.
Therefore violating magical decree number 23. That's not it.
Oh my gosh.
Wow.
I know, right? That's magic.
Emmy just flipped right to the
page.
This
is a breach of the decree for reasonable restriction of underage sorcery, as well as for the International Confederation of Wizards Statute of Secrecy.
Yes. So, are there more letters?
Yeah.
Okay, look over those.
Mm-hmm,
so, thank you. And it says that there will be you are, as of right now, expelled from Hogwarts School
yep.
of Witchcraft and Wizardry. There will be a hearing at the ministry.
No. Oh, yes. Sorry.
Yeah.
You're correct.
There will be
ministry representatives will be calling shortly to destroy your wand.
Yeah, yeah. So Harry's like, there were dementors. I was protecting myself and my cousin, and now I'm expelled from school. I have a hearing at the ministry, and my wand is about to be destroyed. The wand that just lit up for me when I said Lumos without it even being in my hand,
yeah, like
by the
this
way.
Wand. And so he's like, okay, I have to run away. And immediately, and then another owl comes.
Yeah.
And I think, is this the tiny one?
Is this Pig?
Nope, it's not. It's not Pig. If only it were Pig. I love Pig. So it's a note from... hastily and blotchily scrolled in black ink. Harry, Dumbledore's just arrived at the ministry and he's trying to sort it all out. Do not leave your aunt and uncle's house. Do not do any more magic. Do not surrender your wand.
So, from Arthur Weasley.
Yeah, from Arthur Weasley. Thank
yeah.
you.
Yeah. So Harry is like, okay, well,
okay.
That takes away my, Yeah. Or that takes away my plan of running away, right. like I did so in the third, like, book. So I guess I'll just hang out here.
Trying to throw him out.
Yeah, Vernon's trying to throw him out. And he's like,
I did.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Well, Vernon's like, you need to get out of my house because my son is now crazy and clearly it's your fault and all this is happening because you're here, so leave.
And Harry says, it's not my fault, it's the Dementors. And Vernon says, like, what are ruddy Dementors? And a voice answers, they guard the wizard prison Azkaban. Except it's not Harry's voice, it is Aunt Petunia.
It's Aunt Petunia.
Who then looks like she's basically, like, looks so astonished at herself that she looks like she's just thrown up.
Yeah. Oh, Petunia.
And I think Harry says, like, it's like he looks at her, and it's the first time he's, like, really realized that she's his mother's sister.
Yeah. Like, there's this, like, really cool moment in the midst of all this chaos where, like, you see Harry actually kind of bond with his aunt a little bit and, like, realize, like, no, she is actually, like, yeah, my mother's sister.
Yeah. Yeah.
So then
third owl.
There's an owl. Yeah, so then another owl comes in.
And Vernon says, enough effing owls!
As Americans would.
Yes.
So there's a third owl. Emmy, would you like to read the letter?
Dear Mr. Potter, further to our letter of approximately 22 minutes ago, the Ministry of Magic has revised its decision to destroy your wand forthwith. You may retain your wand until your disciplinary hearing on the 12th of August, at which time an official decision will be taken. Following discussions with the headmaster of Hogwarts School of Witchcraft and Wizardry, the Ministry has agreed that the question of your expulsion will also be decided at that time. You should therefore consider yourself suspended from school, pending further inquiries. With best wishes, yours sincerely, Mafalda Hopkirk, Improper Use of Magic Office, Ministry of Magic.
Yes.
So, basically, yeah, okay. Oh, okay. So, basically, Harry's gonna stay, but, and so now it's been changed to a suspension, and he might still get to go back to Hogwarts, and he gets to keep his wand, and, he feels so much better. But then now there's this weird conversation going on, where, like, Vernon is feeling so kind of almost betrayed by Petunia for having admitted to even knowing that Dementors exist. Mm-hmm. And Harry's like, when did you even hear about this? And she says, I heard that terrible boy telling her about them all those years ago. Which Harry says, you mean my parents? You could just use their names. And, and Vernon's like, I don't care.
Wait.
Yeah. Yeah.
No way.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah. Yeah.
Did not realize that before.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Sorry, I'm just going to freak out for a little bit here. Yeah. That is amazing.
I know, right? J.K. Rowling, if you're out there,
we're amazed by you. It just keeps getting better and better.
J.K., like, we're amazed by you.
The way you surprise us all the time. That is serious. I'm sorry, but the fact that I probably should have picked that up before, but it just makes me so happy that, like, the more you read these books, the more you understand.
Exactly.
It's a whole lot of good things that's coming up. Oh. So beautiful.
So great. So Vernon's trying to throw him out. They're trying to deal with this whole, like, Petunia having admitted to thing.
Because she's never said anything about magic before. Like, they haven't even really acknowledged it existed. Yeah. They've only, like, they've never said the words, and suddenly Petunia's coming forth with his knowledge.
Yeah. So, there's lots of debating and yelling and whatever. And then, basically, Vernon throws him out of the house. That's the short version. And,
this is the one.
Yep, this is the one. And, so then, an owl comes with a red envelope and drops it on Petunia's head and then leaves. And she picks it up with shaking hands, and Fern's like, put that down, it could be dangerous, and Harry's like, I don't care if you open it, I'm gonna hear what it says, it's a howler. And she says, no, it's addressed to me.
Yeah.
And so, Mrs. Petunia Dursley, the kitchen number 4, Privet Drive. Because wizarding stuff is like that.
I also love this part where, so Petunia is like freaking out about this, and suddenly the envelope starts to smoke, and Harry's like, you're gonna wanna open that, like, now-ish, because it's gonna get super bad if you don't.
Yep. and it bursts into flames. An awful voice, this is directly from the book, an awful voice filled the kitchen, echoing in the confined space, issuing from the burning letter on the table. Remember my last, Petunia. So Petunia freaks out. No one else knows what's going on. And she just looks at Vernon and she says, the boy will have to stay.
And Vernon's like, what?
What? She's like, we can lock him in his room, but he will have to stay. And he's like, I, what? And Harry's like, you just got an owl. Who, what, last what? Who sent you?
Sent you a howler? Yeah. Like, how do you, like, what was that? What's going on? And Petunia's like, go to bed.
Yeah.
And Harry's like, but, and then Vern's like, go to bed.
Yeah.
And then.
He goes to bed.
And he's like, what the hell just happened? Like, my aunt knows things, and Mrs. Fig knows things.
Yeah, seriously.
And Cedric died a while ago, and I'm still dealing with that, and no Voldemort's one is...
also back. Is anyone going to talk about Voldemort's back?
And no one is answering any of the million questions that I have.
So he sends letters to Ron, Hermione, and Sirius.
Yep.
Via Hedwig, and says...
Something super angry.
And yeah, like, he says, I've been attacked by Dementors, suspended from Hogwarts... no one will tell me what's going on. I expect answers. And then I think when he gives the letter to Hedwig, he says, don't come back until they've written good long answers. Peck them if you have to.
Yeah.
And he's kind of surly with her.
I love Hedwig. She totally would, Hedwig too. Like, best.
Oh, yeah. She does.
Yeah.
And so he sends her off. But, like, he's now locked in his room, kind of like he used to be. No longer able to freely come and go. And he just paces around, like, tries to distract himself with homework. Can't. It's just moody and awful.
Yep.
And one night, I think a week later, Vernon and Petunia are like, we're going out. You're not to leave you're not to leave your room, you're not to touch anything, blah, blah, blah. And Harry's like, okay, I don't care.
Whatever.
And almost as soon as they leave, he hears, I think, does he hear everybody apparating? Do they apparate to get him?
I think they do apparate to get him.
But then they fly away.
Yeah. Yeah, because they don't want... Because he can't.
I don't know why he can't go away side-along, but whatever.
Well, I think that...
You have to be old enough to do side-along, maybe?
Well, he does side-along in the sixth one.
Yeah.
Well, because I wonder...
That's because they've been practicing, though.
Yeah. And I wonder, too, if there's something about, like... Because Harry shouldn't be using magic.
Oh, right. Right. So we don't want to use magic around Harry.
Right.
Right.
Because just in case any other underage stuff happens. Right. So.
So anyway.
I think he just hears voices.
Yeah, I think he just hears, I think you're right. Yeah. He just hears voices. And, goes into the hallway and looks down and there's, like, this whole group of people looking up at him. Some of them he knows, some of them he doesn't. And he's like, hi, you're in my aunt and uncle's house.
What's up? What's going on?
And Lupin's with them. Mad-Eye Moody, like the real Mad-Eye Moody, not Mad-Eye Moody as inhabited by Barty Crouch Jr.
Right, like actual Mad-Eye Moody, which must be weird, because, like...
Harry mentions a couple times that he's like, this is weird, like, I think I know you, but I don't know you.
And that's super weird. That would be weird. Lupin, Mad-Eye...
Kingsley, we're introduced to Kingsley Shacklebolt. Kingsley
Shacklebolt!
Who normally guards the Prime Minister, like the real Prime Minister, the Muggle one. But then tonight got off to escort Harry. And I think there's like 8 or 10 others.
Yeah.
Just random ones. Alphaeus Dodge.
Is Alphaeus Dodge there?
I think so.
Isn't Tonks?
Diddle is Diggle.
Isn't Tonks there?
Yeah, Tonks is there. Yeah, so we're also introduced to Tonks.
Nymphadora Tonks.
Don't call me Nymphadora.
Tonks.
Nymphadora Tonks, who, as you can see, prefers her surname. So would you if your fool mother had named you Nymphadora. Yeah. Tonks is the best. Tonks is a Morph Magus?
Rules.
She's a Morph Magus.
Is it Morph Magus?
I think it's a Morph Magus.
While Emmy looks that up, I'm going to explain what it is. So Tonks can change her appearance. So she, like, I think when we first meet her, she has bubblegum pink hair, or is it purple? It changes, like, it's one and then it changes to the other, I think.
I believe you're right.
So she's changing the color of her hair all the time. She can change the way her nose looks. Like, she can change, like, everything about her appearance. Like, there's different times where she'll have, like, a pig nose or,
Yeah.
Like a duck bill, like just for kicks. So she's not an animagus. She doesn't turn into one specific she's animal. She's
a metamorph magus.
She's a metamorph magus, so she can change her appearance at will.
Starts out with purple hair.
Change which, she's an auror.
Yep.
And she said that that's the one exam that she did really well was, was disguises.
Yeah. But Tonks is super clumsy.
She's...
like, she's always bumping into things yeah. and knocking things over.
Yeah.
So she's not really good at, like, concealment.
No, she's... she's basically me. But...
she's a Hufflepuff, by the way.
She's a Hufflepuff, and she's awesome. I love Tonks so much. Tonks is
the best. I'm still upset that I can't find the pictures of me going as Tonks to the final showing.
Me too.
It was a good one.
I have pictures of me going as, like, a young Bellatrix. Yeah.
You don't dress up as the evil guy?
I know, but it was fun. I had the, like, wanted, like the... wanted shirt with Harry's picture on it.
Oh, okay, that's kind
of cool. So I wore that, and then one of my friends drew a dark mark on my arm.
Nice.
And then I wrote Bellatrix on my other arm, like I carved it, and then...
Does she carve her name in her arm now?
No, but I just thought she would do that if she was bored.
That's true.
And then it was when I had my, like, really dark emo hair, and then walked around saying, I killed Sirius Black. It was a good time. I was in college. Anyway.
Spoiler alert.
Spoiler alert.
Sirius is not going to make it.
But seriously, if you haven't read the books, then you're right. listening to this.
So you've seen the movies, Robert. You know.
You know that what happens. Sirius
doesn't make it. So, anyway. They've come to get him.
Yep.
And he's got lots of people have volunteered to guard him, basically because they're all like, Harry Potter, I want to stare at him.
Yeah.
And so that happens.
Yeah, he finds out, is it now that he finds out that people have been covertly guarding him? Or is that later?
I think it's later.
I think so, too. So a bunch of people show up to Privet Drive. They're like, hey, we're going to take you to headquarters.
Mm-hmm.
He's like, okay.
Yep.
They go.
They fly on brooms. They fly on brooms. It's very cold and very long. Like an hour on a broom.
Yeah, and he starts to get really, really cold.
Mm-hmm.
That's
and then they arrive in a really sketchy place in London.
Yep.
And Mad-Eye Moody gives him a piece of parchment.
Yep.
And tells him to read it and memorize it.
Yep.
But don't say anything out loud. And so he reads the headquarters of the Order of the Phoenix is located at Grimmauld Place number 12.
Nice.
And Harry's like, "Huh?" And then as he's reading this and, like, memorizing it and repeating it to himself, suddenly in front of him, between houses 11 and 13, where there is no number 12, suddenly the wall starts to shift and a number 12 just appears in the middle of them.
Mm-hmm.
I think the movie does a pretty good job capturing it.
It does, yeah. Like, in the movie, it's almost like an apartment building.
Yeah, yeah.
And then
the
apartment building, like, kind of collapses.
Well, that makes sense for London, because they're all brownstones.
Yeah. Right, yeah. No, they did a really good job in the movie. So, suddenly, there's a house there.
And they go inside.
So, it turns out that Dumbledore is a secret keeper for the headquarters of the Order of the Phoenix. So, much like Peter Pettigrew was a secret keeper for where Lily and James Potter and Harry Potter were kept... Dumbledore is a secret keeper for this, so only the people that Dumbledore tells where this is at will be able to see that.
Right.
Will be able to enter the house.
So because Dumbledore wrote it down and then Mad-Eye Moody gave it to Harry, that counts.
Yeah. In his slanty handwriting.
Yes. With purple ink?
Probably.
Probably.
It's a Dumbledore trait.
So they go inside. It's very dusty and dark and gross.
Mm-hmm.
Tonks knocks over an umbrella stand that looks like the bottom half of a troll's leg.
Yep.
And then there's a lot of screaming.
There's this woman screaming about mudbloods.
Mudbloods, blood traitors, filthy such and such is in my house.
And like screeching.
And I think Molly Weasley appears.
Molly Weasley appears. She quiets the shrieking harpy.
Portrait, yep.
It's a portrait that's shrieking. And then says, I think says, like, a meeting's happening soon.
Yeah, the meeting's just started.
Yep. Harry, you can go upstairs.
Yeah, go upstairs and see Ron and Hermione. I think they've got food. Or she says, we'll have dinner right
after.
We'll
have dinner after or something, yeah. I was like, because Molly tends to feed him.
Because he's scaredy.
Yeah.
So
it's kind of like a, like, the meeting started. You can go hang out with Ron and Hermione, like... get going kind of deal. Like,
yeah, get.
Like, it's not the most happy or, like, warm of welcomes, but it's, like,
it's like, she still loves him.
Yeah, like, she obviously still loves him, but it's not like, Harry, blah, blah, blah. Yeah. It's like, meeting started, go hang out with Ron and Hermione, catch you later.
Yep. So, Harry goes to hang out with Ron and Hermione, and he's like, you've been hanging out at the headquarters of the Order of the Phoenix. I don't even know what that is, but you've totally been having fun without me, and you won't answer my letters, and I don't like you.
Yeah. Not cool, bros.
Ron shows him the scar on his finger where Hedwig pecked him.
Yeah.
Because he couldn't write enough.
Yep.
And they're like, Dumbledore told us not to tell you much. We don't even know a lot. Like, we're not in the... Like, order is...
Yeah.
Oh, and so, okay, well, so what's the Order of the Phoenix? So we have more monologuing, like, backstory. The Order of the Phoenix was first created in the First Wizarding War against Voldemort, headed by Dumbledore, and it's just, like, witches and wizards who are united against Voldemort.
Yeah.
That's pretty much it.
Yeah, pretty much. So then... So they started another Order of the Phoenix to fight Voldemort this time. And Ron, Hermione, and the meetings happen at Grimmauld Place, number 12. But Ron and Hermione and Ginny and the twins aren't in it.
Because they're too young.
Because they're too young.
Of age, being 17.
Right. And so they don't really know much about the Order of the Phoenix. Mm-hmm. They kind of know who's in it. Mm-hmm. They know that people come in and out of the house at, like, random hours of the day and night. Mm-hmm.
They've heard them talking about guard duty.
Yep.
And Harry's like, yeah, I wonder who that could have been for. And they're like, oh.
Oh.
Sorry, dude.
Sorry. That was probably you. So then they're kind of talking. Do the twins show
up? They also find out that Snape is in the Order.
Yes, and Harry's kind of pissed about that.
Yeah.
Harry's like, Snape's in the frickin' Order? That guy's a jerk.
And he totally works for Voldemort.
And he definitely works for Voldemort.
Calls him his faithful servant.
Right.
Like, that's why he explained how Snape didn't show up in book four when all the Death Eaters got together. It was just like, oh, he's still at Hogwarts pretending to be loyal.
Yeah.
He's a bad guy. I don't like him. So, and then Fred and George apparate into the room, because they can, because they're 16, and you can learn to apparate once you're 16. Yes. 17?
They're 17.
Oh, they're 17, yeah, you're right.
They're of age, so they can use magic whenever they want.
That's right. And they do all the time, and it's super irritating.
Yeah.
but so they are like, hey, Harry, stop yelling about everything, we know you're pissed that you didn't get enough information, but calm the heck down. We've invented these extendable ears. They're like a trick thing that can get into the meeting, and so we've been able to listen, and we're going to try them tonight. And then Ginny comes in and is like, nope, can't try them. Mom's put a curse on the door, so you can't get through. I've been throwing dung bombs at them. And I'm like, of course you have. Movie Ginny versus Book Ginny. Book Ginny is a badass.
Book Ginny is so much cooler than Movie Ginny. I don't know if she's in my top 10.
That's okay. She doesn't have to be in your top 10, but she's in my real-life actual 10 top 10.
She's in my top 20.
Okay, fine.
Not in the top 10, though.
I don't think I have any boys in my top 10, so that's...
I think mine's a lot of boys.
That's okay. You can have boys. Ginny's a participant in everything.
Yeah.
Which is great. You know, in the movie, she just kind of simpers after Harry, but, like, in the books, she's really got her own life.
Yeah, she's really cool. And I always forget how much I really like her. Like, both her and Ron.
Yeah.
Like, I watch the movies, and meh. But I read the books, and I'm like, no, Ron and Ginny are actually pretty cool.
Yeah, movie
like,
Ron, his really good lines get given to Hermione, because Emma Watson was the better actress.
Right.
Actor, whatever. But yeah, he's really great.
And then Ginny's kind of there just, like, pining after Harry most of the time, but that's not what Book Ginny's about.
No, Book Ginny is kicking ass and taking names.
Right.
So, eventually the meeting ends, they get called down for dinner. And Harry sees Sirius. Sirius is there.
Yeah.
Sirius is in the Order. So he's like, yay, Godfather, yay. And there's this cool, you know, heartwarming moment where he bonds with the man he's seen all of 30 minutes ever in his life. But
yep.
That's fine.
That's cool.
And Charlie and Bill Weasley are there, and Arthur's there.
By the way, Bill Weasley exists. No, Charlie Weasley exists. Doesn't exist in the movies.
What?
Like, I think they mentioned him a couple times. You never see Charlie Weasley.
What a bunch of crap!
I know. And you see Bill for, like, two movies.
That's so sad.
It makes me so angry.
Because it's so beautiful. That's, like, the Weasley family loves each other as much as they do.
I know. And Bill and Charlie rule.
talk? Do they talk? I think they do. Okay, before they get called down for dinner, it's discussed that Percy.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Has had a very big fight with his father and the rest of the Weasley family.
Yeah.
That basically all of the other Weasleys are in the order, but Percy was promoted at work and is, like, taking his new position very seriously and basically says, like, I won't be part of the order. Oh, did they also talk about Dumbledore and Harry as reported in the Daily Prophet? We're just going to cover that now.
Okay, yeah. So,
Percy distances himself from the family and basically refuses to be part of the order, shouts at his father, and walks away, and they, like, won't speak again. So, yeah. Like, you can't mention his name around the Weasleys, or they all get really upset.
Yeah. Because the Ministry refuses to state, or, like, recognize that Voldemort is back. Acknowledge that Voldemort is back. The Minister of Magic, Fudge, just firmly believes that that's not true.
Yep.
And so he's like, we're not going to worry people that he's back. Voldemort clearly isn't back. Like, what are you guys talking about?
Yep.
And so Percy has sided more with the Ministry over his family.
Yeah. Not cool.
I'm telling you, dude, he should have been a Slytherin. I'm sorry. He should have been a Slytherin.
Okay, fine. He could have been a Slytherin, especially because, as we know from book 6, not all Slytherins are evil.
Right. I'm not saying he's evil. I'm just saying he's
almost
out for himself a lot of the time.
Yes. But it's more cunning, and Percy's not really cunning. Like, Slytherins aren't just selfish. They're cunning. That's their definitive. They're cunning and they're purebloods.
Right.
That's their definitive house trait. Percy's not actually that smart.
I feel like Percy, well, I guess probably not.
He's just kind of a...
He just kind of feels... I think he thinks he's that smart.
Yeah, he wants to be.
Yeah.
But so, the Daily Prophet has not reported at all that Voldemort has returned.
Right.
And they're also attempting to discredit Harry and Dumbledore.
Because I believe Hermione's like, haven't you been reading the Daily Prophet?
Yeah.
And Harry's like, nothing's been in there about Voldemort. And she's like, no, not about Voldemort, about you and Dumbledore.
Yeah.
And he's like, what are you talking about? And she's like, well, they've been publishing things about how, that's not a Hermione voice at all.
No. They've been publishing things about how, well, then you've gone off your rocker a bit.
They're saying that Dumbledore's old and crazy, essentially. Yeah. And that you're a kid who's making stuff up to get attention.
Yep, basically. Good summary.
Thank you. Yeah.
So,
and Harry's like, are you freaking kidding me? And she's like, nope.
Nope, not.
So, and I think, never mind. So that happens. Then they go to dinner.
Yep. See Sirius. Sirius reveals that 12 Grimmauld Place is his family house.
Yep.
And he, so he's lent it to the order, and Harry's like, oh my gosh.
It's about the only useful thing I've been able to do.
He's super moody, because he can't even go out of the house. Because
he's still wanted for murder.
Right.
And escaping Azkaban. So Sirius can't leave the house at all. He spends a lot of time in the attic with Buckbeak, who also can't leave the house.
Yeah.
Buckbeak the Hippogriff.
All by myself.
With a hippogriff. So he's super moody, and...
And Harry's kind of
Harry
like,
kind of latches onto him, because he's also super moody.
Yeah. Let's be moody together. So, dinner continues, dinner finishes, and they're just sort of chatting, and Sirius is like, I'm really quite surprised at you, Harry. I would have demanded answers as soon as I got in the door. And Harry's like, I did demand answers from Hermione and Ron. And Sirius is like, yeah, I meant from people who actually know what's going on. And Harry's like, well, and then there's this huge fight that erupts where, like, Sirius wants to tell Harry everything about the Order of the Phoenix and, like, bring him into the know as much as possible and tell him everything that, like, about what Voldemort's up to or what they think Voldemort's up to and things like that. And Molly Weasley is like, no, he's a child. You can't expect that of him. Like, that's too much pressure. And she's very defensive. And she and Sirius kind of get into this spat about, like, who is more family to Harry. Because, like, I don't remember exactly what gets said, but basically she says, like, I think Sirius says, you're not his mother, or you're not Harry's family. And she says, who else has he got? And Or no, maybe it's, I don't remember.
I think she says, who else does he have? And he says, me.
Yeah.
I'm his godfather. And she's like, I've known him since he was 11.
Right.
Like,
you were locked up in Azkaban.
Yeah. Like, what do you know? And he's like, nah, meh.
There's a lot of fighting. And finally, I think it might be Lupin who says, like, let's just let Harry decide.
Yeah.
And
is this during the part two where Molly says Harry's not James?
Yeah, I think so.
Like, Molly says, I think you're getting Harry and James confused.
Yeah.
And Sirius is like, whatever.
Yeah.
And Lupin's like, hey, why don't we let Harry talk?
Yeah. Why don't we let Harry decide? And Harry's like, I want to know what's going on. And so Molly's like, okay, everybody else out, and French and George are like, what the heck? We're older than him.
We're of age. Why can't we know? And Molly's like, nope, you're my kids.
And she's like, but I think it's like, oh, they're still in school. And they're like, oh, come on. And I think they get to stay.
Oh, yeah, I think French and George get to stay then.
And then
Ron and Hermione are pissed.
Then Ron and Hermione get sent out. And are about to get sent out. And Ron's like, Harry's going to tell me everything anyway. Aren't you?
And Harry has a moment where he's like, I don't think I'm going to.
He's like mentally considering punishing Ron for not telling him anything this summer via his letters. And then he's like, no,
and he's Ron's like, my best stupid.
Friend. Ron's my best friend. He's like, of course I'll tell you. And so Molly is just so pissed as fuck.
Yeah. So then Ron and Hermione stay.
Get to stay. It's just Ginny who gets sent Ginny out. And you can hear her stomping through the whole house.
She's so pissed.
And it's so dumb because Hermione and Ginny are sharing a room and they're good friends. Like, yeah. Hermione's going to tell her
everything.
Hermione's going to tell Ginny everything anyway.
So then they kind of explain the order.
A little more, yeah.
A little more. They don't give a ton away, but they say, like, I don't remember everything that they're...
Well, we're organizing and we're trying to convert...
We're organizing, we're trying to convince people to join, but that's getting hard because the ministry is not acknowledging that Voldemort's back, so a lot of people don't want to, like, join because that's acknowledging that Voldemort's back.
Right.
They are trying to find Voldemort, or at least they are getting reports that he might be in Albania.
Yeah.
But it's mainly about, like, recruiting and organizing right now.
Yes, and then they're also... They think Voldemort might have something this time that he didn't have before. And he's like, so, like a weapon? And they're like, yeah. And there's a lot of foreshadowing and non-clarity here.
Yeah. In the movie, that's when Molly's like, enough! Like, they're like, or Harry's like a weapon. And then Sirius looks like, And then Molly's like, nope, done. Like,
That's enough.
Wrap it up.
I don't remember what. Ends it in the book. So then they go up to bed, and Ron's like, okay, well, Hermione's gonna go tell Ginny everything.
Yeah.
And, I don't know, I think then they just go to sleep.
I feel like something happens that night, though. Like, Harry has bad dreams.
Well, Harry keeps having these dreams where, like, I mean, he has dreams constantly about Cedric dying in the graveyard, but then he also has been having these dreams where he's, like, in a hallway, always trying to get to a door.
Yes.
And, like, he can never quite get to it or get it open. And so, he has that dream.
Yep. Marie's in this long hall, there's a doorway.
Yeah, and there's, like, light behind the doorway, I think.
Yeah, and he wants, like, he really wants to get through the door, but he can't.
Yeah.
Or he never gets there.
Yeah, he can't quite reach the door, I think. So...
Recurring dream. He should probably see Freud about it.
Yeah,
but exactly.
So the next day, basically what they've been doing is cleaning 12 Grimmauld Place because it's a giant mess. It was left abandoned for a really long time because Sirius, it turns out, ran away from home at, I think, 16 and goes to live with James.
Yeah.
Because he hates his family.
So I was always welcome at the Potters.
Yeah. So the next chapter, like, Sirius talks about his family and they look at the family tree because it's in the room that they're trying to clean. And they're trying to, like, get rid of a bunch of doxies, right?
That sounds right-ish.
I'm going to go with doxies, because it's not pixies.
Nope.
They're trying to get rid of a bunch of doxies that have nested in the curtains, so they're also in this living room.
And can I just say that as a reader, it's kind of fun to read about, like, wizard chores. Like,
that's true. You have to
get this weird, like with the doxies, you have to get, like, this weird potion and spray bottle.
Yeah, and, like, spray them in the face.
Yeah, and, like, they're just, like, these weird chores. Like, they're, like, cleaning out stuff, and they're like, I don't know what this box is, like...
Yeah, throwing things away, and, yeah. like, the snuff box tries to bite them. Mm. Oh, no, it bites Ron's finger, and it swells up.
Yeah.
But so, while they're doing all of this, trying to make the place habitable, because Sirius's family, the Blacks, was a most noble and pure...
The most noble House of Black.
Yes. The most noble and pure House of... The most noble and...
I thought it was something just the most noble.
Maybe it's just the most noble House of Black.
But they're also pure bloods, and they're kind of crazy about right. being pure bloods.
The noble and most ancient.
Most House ancient of House of Black, yes.
Whose motto is, toujours pure.
Yes.
Which is French for always pure.
Yeah.
In case you didn't know.
They're into the pure blood thing.
They're into the pure blood thing. So they have a big wizarding family tree on the wall mm-hmm. that can't get taken down. It's a big tapestry and goes back to, I think, the 15th century at least. Mm-hmm. And, so you can see, like, Harry's looking at it, and he's like, Sirius, you're not on here. And Sirius is like, yeah, I got blasted off when I ran away. So, like, here's this cigarette burn where Mother burnt me out. But here's my brother, Regulus, mm-hmm. and my sister, Bellatrix.
Cousin Bellatrix.
Cousin Bellatrix?
Cousin Bellatrix.
Cousin Bellatrix, you're right. You're absolutely
and
right.
And then Bellatrix's sister is Narcissa.
Narcissa. And there's another one. There's a burn mark next to Narcissa, but I don't remember what the name is.
Mm.
Tonks's mom.
Yeah. I don't remember her name.
I don't remember her name. That's fine. It's burned off. We don't know at this yeah. point. So, basically, yeah, you get burned off the family tapestry if you do things that are not befitting the noble and most ancient House of Black. But so it's revealed that Bellatrix was originally a Black, and then she married... Lestrange.
Yes.
And
Rodolfo?
It was Rodolfo. She married Rodolfo Lestrange, and they're the ones that attacked the... Which, apparently, I think we must have learned this in book 4, because it's reviewed in book 5. Mm. They're the ones that attacked the Longbottoms.
Yeah.
And tortured them into insanity, which is why Neville was raised by his godmother.
Yes.
Bad people.
Bad people.
And Narcissa,
who married Lucius Malfoy. Draco Malfoy's yep. mother.
And I think Sirius says he's related to Molly, like, on a cousin's side or something, but he's yeah. like, you won't find the Weasleys on this because they're blood traitors.
Yeah,
blood traitors are people who advocate for Muggle rights. Wizards who advocate for Muggles.
Right. Is he related to Molly or Arthur?
I thought it was Molly.
I think it is Molly. I just want to make sure. But he said at this point, like, basically there's, like, or, like, there's all not, the pure yeah. blood families are pretty much related because yeah. there's fewer and fewer of them.
Yeah,
left,
exactly.
Which makes sense because there's 40 kids.
40 kids in one grade level in all of England.
In all of England.
Wow, that's just crazy.
That's so weird.
Oh, how sad would it be if you, like, okay, so you're, like, a wizard-born kid, right? And you're living in a wizarding community.
Right.
And you and, like, your best friend. So, like, let's take us.
Okay.
For example.
Okay.
So, except we're the same age in this story.
Okay.
We're, like, we're neighbors and we're best friends from early age.
Okay.
And at 11, we both get our letters to Hogwarts and we're like, yay! And we both go together with our parents to the train station and it's like, yay, I mean, carry off on an adventure to Hogwarts! And then you get sorted into Ravenclaw and I get sorted into Gryffindor.
I was gonna sort you into Ravenclaw.
That's why I'm a first.
That would be really sad. Although I feel like, I mean,
I guess it would promote inner house cooperation.
Yeah, and like the Batil sisters.
That's true.
Are in different houses.
I just feel like it'd be really sad. That would scary be really sad. If you've been best friends with somebody since you were a tiny, and then you go off at 11 to this new terrifying off. School where there's friggin' ghosts and the staircase is moving. There's a three-headed dog on the third floor corridor.
I would be so freaking lost. There, I would never get to class on time, and I'd be so panicked about it. Ugh.
Right? And you and I couldn't go to class together because we'd have separate classes.
No. We just have to hope that one day we get double potions together.
Right, exactly. And then we'd have to have double potions with Snape.
Right,
so yeah. It's not even that enjoyable. Glad that you're amused at our struggles in the wizarding world.
I know, we would be awful. Oh, and hopefully we aren't going to school at the same time as Harry Potter, because we're learning nothing yet. We're getting nothing accomplished.
No. But, I mean...
Although, if we would go, if we met our ages in the middle and went, we would be long after Harry Potter.
That's true.
Well, yeah. Not long after. Wait.
I thought the Battle of Hogwarts was 1998.
Harry Potter is exactly 10 years older than me. So really? Would, yeah.
Okay.
So he would be 34.
Okay.
So, wait. Yeah, so that, yeah, so we would be fine.
We would be fine.
Because we would have started at 11, he would have been 21.
Yep.
Yeah. We're perfect. He's already living in the loft.
Right. Harry Potter. And the cheap London flat. Where the heck are we?
They're cleaning.
Cleaning, right. They throw out a lot of stuff. There's like that snuff box that bit Ron. There's a big locket. There's a what? There's a huh? There's a, hey, if you've been paying attention.
There's a locker.
There's a locket that they throw out. But as they're throwing things away, a house elf continues to sneak into the room and try to steal things. This is not Dobby. This is not Winky. This is Creature.
Creature.
Who's gone a bit daft in his old age.
Yeah, he's a little crazy.
He's a lot crazy.
He really, really likes serving the noble and most ancient House of Black, though, and hates Sirius. Like, he's like...
Because Sirius is a traitor.
Creature loved Sirius's mother.
Mm-hmm.
And so as they're throwing out these things that... you know, have been in the house forever. Creature's trying to, like, steal them and bring them back to his, like, nest.
Yeah, he's got, like, a little, like, space under the staircase or something.
Yeah.
Or in a cellar, I don't know.
I feel like it's somewhere in the kitchen.
But he's just really creepy, and whenever he's in the room with them, he's, like, always cursing under his breath.
Yeah.
About, like, the dirty blood traitors and the filthy mud blood. And, like, Hermione tries to be nice to him, because Hermione is a house elf advocate, and he's always just, like, muttering dirt about her under his breath and, like, filthy mudblood thinks she can talk to me, speaking to Creature as if they were equals.
Is this the part that's Sirius, or is that later?
What do you mean?
That Sirius is like, get out of here, and then...
No, that's later.
Okay, that's what I thought.
I think.
Yeah, I think...
Maybe.
I feel like it's later, though.
Maybe I just wasn't paying attention. Hermione definitely advocates for Creature's... like, what if you just set him free... And Sirius is like, A, he knows way too much about the Order. B, the shock of him being set free would probably kill him. Not all house elves want to be free. And she's like, no, but Dobby! And he's like, Dobby's a weird one.
Dobby's a exception to the rule that house elves like... I feel like Sirius is just like, do you remember what happened with Winky? Yeah. Like, can we just all... Hermione, knock it off.
No freeing of the house elves!
And so Creature has belonged to the Blacks for so long that... And since Sirius owns the house, like, the house was left to Sirius, so he owns Creature as well. So Creature has to do whatever Sirius says. It's not in there?
It's not this one.
Okay. So, that will come up later.
Yeah,
mainly.
Well, sure.
But I think, like, he mutters something, and Sirius is like, shut up. Like, knock it off. Like, basically, Sirius is like, will you just die already?
Yeah, Sirius is terrible to him. So Sirius and Creature hate each other. Yeah, it's bad. Yeah. So
they're cleaning stuff out.
That's pretty much it. They clean a lot.
Does the Boggart thing happen? That makes me so sad.
Oh, gosh, yeah.
Okay, so they're cleaning, and there's a Boggart
in
a writing desk. And if you recall from book 3, Boggarts are, they take the form of your greatest fear, and then you say ridiculous and make them turn something funny.
Yep.
So I think they're going to dinner.
Yeah.
Or something.
Finishing dinner. I think they're finishing dinner and it's Mad-Eye Moody's in the house, because he needed to look in and make sure it was a Boggart and not something else, and so he, like, x-rays it with his...
Oh, yeah, he just, like, looks from the dinner table,
yeah,
I think, with his eye.
Yeah, into the writing desk.
Yeah, because Molly's like, can you just make sure it's a Boggart and nothing else, so I'm not, you know...
Yeah, and then he's like, do you want me to take care of it? And she's like, no, I got it.
She's like, no, and she runs upstairs. And then...
Harry leaves the table early, I don't remember why.
Yeah, probably because he's angry.
Probably because he's angry about something.
He's angry. And he finds her...
He hears her
so
crying.
So he hears Molly crying, and he goes, and Molly is by the writing desk, and is she standing over or holding them?
Standing over.
She's standing over...
The lifeless body of Ron.
The lifeless body of Ron. And Harry at first is like,
Dead best friend!
Dead. Freaking out! And then...
Thank you for that.
And then realizes, like, wait, I just left Ron in the kitchen. He's probably cool. And realizes that it's a Boggart, and it starts switching from Ron to the twins, to Ginny, to Bill and Charlie, Arthur.
To Harry.
And Harry.
Harry's dead body is also seen. And I think Molly keeps saying, like, she's crying and, like, breaking out, like, trying to get through the word ridiculous, and it just keeps switching into different dead yeah, members she of keeps her family.
Weeping even just, harder.
And Harry's like, call somebody else, let somebody else deal with it, and she's like, and I think Lupin, yeah, Lupin runs into the room.
I was gonna say, someone runs in and...
Because he steps in front of her, and it changes into the moon, and he just goes ridiculous, and it pops away, because Lupin's a badass. And Molly's like, Lupin. Don't tell Arthur, and she's like trying to compose herself. And they're consoling her, like, it's not going to be as bad as it was the first... I think she's probably thinking about, like, you know, Harry lost his parents.
Right.
Lots of people her age or, like, you know, friends of hers, I think, probably died in the first one. Mm-hmm. And they're like, look, it's not going to be like it was the first time.
Like, he caught us by surprise.
It's going to be okay.
Yeah.
You know what? So I was listening to that, and, like, it's really hard not to be totally moved by it. Mm-hmm. But I was also thinking. So, those of you who've seen the movies or read the books and are still following along with us know that in the end, Hermione marries Ron, Ginny marries Harry. Does Hermione, is she just like always the also Ran in the Weasley family? Because, like, there's never any sort of sense that, like, Molly Weasley loves her nearly as much as she loves Harry or any of her other kids. And I just wonder if, like, family get-togethers are really awkward. Like, where all of the Weasleys are like, we're having a great time! And Harry's like, I'm having a great time! And Hermione's like, I would like to go back and study magical law. I am not having a great time.
I am studying for the wizard LSATs, and I would appreciate it if all of you would shut
it down! I just wonder how she fit into that family. Because she was an only child, too.
She was an only child. I wonder, though, if this isn't, like... I totally agree with what you're saying.
Yeah, I
completely understand your point.
Because I'm right.
Right. But I wonder if this isn't an attempt at Rowling to show that Harry is very much a son to Molly and very much a part of their family.
Yeah.
And I don't think Hermione is really her daughter. Like, that's I don't true. Think she takes Hermione in that way.
That's true. Because like, Hermione's got her own family.
Right. Like, I think Hermione is very much... I think Molly very much loves Hermione, but she doesn't see Hermione needing a parent like Harry needs a parent.
Fair enough. Fair enough.
Is what I would guess.
Okay. I just felt bad for her.
You know? I know, because... It's yeah, because it does seem kind of like... Oh, I'm the... Like, I don't know.
But, I mean, she is smarter than everyone, so I guess there's that.
And, I mean, we do see in book six... I want to see... Yes. The animosity that Molly will have for another romantic interest of one of her Weasley children, which you don't see with Hermione.
Does she really?
Yeah,
I haven't
Bill?
Read book six. Oh, right. Oh, of course.
That whole deal goes down. So, we know that... We know that Molly is capable of disliking the romantic interests that her children have.
Right.
And there's none of that with Hermione.
That's true. Ginny joins in on it, too. She's yes. a little snot.
So good.
Anyway.
But cleaning. That is book six. So they're cleaning, the Boggart thing happens.
I think that's, and then they just do some regular stuff, and then one night, Mrs. Weasley's like, Harry, I laid out your best clothes for your suspension disciplinary hearing tomorrow. Here's the thing. Okay, right, it's scary, terrifying. Harry's like, oh my gosh, I might not get to go back to Hogwarts. I don't, you know, like, this is horrifying. When he goes upstairs, she has laid out his best jeans. And I'm like, J.K. Rowling, have you never been to a disciplinary hearing? Wear the dress robes!
Could you give Harry at least some nice slacks?
Right? You know, like...
Wear your... Yeah.
Yeah, she puts out his... And she doesn't even say, like, oh, the only thing we have is your jeans, and Harry doesn't comment. Like, it's only that I was listening to this on my drive to Madison and going... I wish I could go to my pastoral interview in jeans. And yeah. I'm not even at risk of getting suspended from the only school I can go to.
That is ridiculous.
It's ridiculous.
So anyway. Here's your best jeans and your best black t-shirt.
Basically. It's ridiculous.
I hope he has like a wizard button-up.
What does a wizard button-up look like?
I don't know.
Okay, magical.
Much like a regular button-up, I would imagine.
Oh, okay.
But something different.
They go to the Ministry of Magic. You get to the Ministry by, if you're a visitor, by cramming into a broken telephone booth.
Yep.
Identifying yourself, and then it shrinks into the earth.
Well, and then badges pop out that say, like, Harry Potter...
Disciplinary hearing.
Disciplinary hearing.
They go early, because Arthur's got to go to work.
Yeah, so Harry, so Harry just goes with Arthur to work, because that's where mm-hmm. Arthur works, and he says something about, like, oh, I've never used a visitor's entrance before, this will be fun. And then they go, and they enter the ministry, Harry checks in his wand.
Yep.
Where they're like, Holly, 13 yep. and something.
I think it's 11 and a half inches.
It is, damn it. Okay. And then, is it 11 and a half or 11 and three quarters?
It is not 11 and three quarters, because I was listening to that.
Okay.
It's 11 and a half.
Okay. So then, Phoenix Core. And then Harry sees a fountain.
Yes. Which the ministry is gorgeous. I don't think the movie does it justice.
No.
It looks like a sewer in the ministry, in the movie. And, like, yeah. No, it is amazing.
It is.
It's like, I imagine it to be sort of like a geometrically decorated mosaic in a mosque. Like, when you see the beautiful, beautiful pictures of mosques, like, that's how I imagine it.
It's very ornate.
Yes.
Yeah.
Extremely.
So there's this fountain that has
a witch, a wizard,
a centaur.
A troll. No, a goblin.
No, a goblin, yeah.
And a house elf.
All, like, hanging out. At a fountain. And does he put a coin in now?
No, he promises. It's like a wishing fountain, and all proceeds go to St. Mungo's.
St. Mungo's magical hospital for magical maladies.
Magics.
St. Mungo's hospital for magical maladies and something else.
St. Mungo's hospital for magical maladies and injuries.
So he says, like, if this turns out, I will put 10 galleons in, yeah.
If I don't get expelled from Hogwarts.
If I don't get expelled from Hogwarts.
So they go up to Arthur's office to wait, and then Perkins, Arthur's co-worker, shows up and is like, oh my gosh, Arthur, I just sent an owl to your house. This is urgent. What?
Kingsley. Does that happen? No. Doesn't
King... There's no Kingsley in the book.
Really?
Yeah.
I thought, like, he, like, walked by or something. And, like,
you're right. Yes.
I was like, there's an interaction.
So I'm so sorry.
That goes
you're
on.
You're absolutely right. Kingsley and Arthur, now that they pass each other and, like, have to pretend they don't know each other.
Because there would be no reason that Kingsley Shacklebolt and Arthur Weasley would know each other.
Right.
They both work at the Ministry of Magic, but they're in very different departments. And they don't want people to know who's in the Order of the Phoenix, mm-hmm. or, like, people would be like, why are Arthur and Kingsley Shacklebolt suddenly best friends? This makes
yeah.
no sense.
But I don't know if the movie does this, but,
it doesn't.
Okay. So, Kingsley, like, pulls Arthur, is like, Arthur, I need to get a report on, like, something
yeah.
from you. About, like, magical, like, we think Sirius Black might be using his motorcycle again, so we've got to get a report on you about bewitched muggle artifacts. That can fly or something.
Yeah.
And, so they go off into this, like, cubicle alone and are having this discussion in loud tones about, like, well, I'll get it to you when I can, but I'm very busy. And then, like, in undertones, saying to each other, like, Molly's cooking dinner tonight at 7 if you can get away.
It makes me so happy.
It's so cute.
Like, yeah. Like, Arthur's just like, and then I think, doesn't Kingsley
gives Arthur.
What is it? Like, I think they talk about, like, what food they're having
or something.
And, like, Kingsley's like, ooh, is she making whatever? Like, adorable.
It's so great. Wizards.
Yeah.
So then they go to Arthur's office, right?
Yep. They stay there for just a little bit.
Well, Perkins comes running in, and is like, Arthur, blah, blah, blah. And Arthur's like, yeah, I already heard about the exploding toilet, which was the thing that was going on, but it's not important.
Yeah.
And he's like, no, they switched Harry's disciplinary hearing time. It's not in the courtroom. It's down in, like, the full courtrooms in the basement, and it's at 8:30, and it's 8:40.
Yeah.
Right now.
So
they have to, like, run to the lift, and Arthur the whole time is fretting about, like, why in the world are we meeting down in the dungeon courtrooms? Like, nobody ever uses the basement courtrooms unless, and there's this sort of, like, long pause, unless, and he keeps doing this sort of, like, but they would never. Oh, my. And Harry's like, what the fuck, dude? And is, like, sweating really crazy because they're running and panic and frantic. And finally they get to the door.
His nicest jeans are probably getting wrinkled.
I know. And they get to the door and Arthur's like, okay, go in. And Harry's like, you're not coming with me. He's like, no, I can't. And just shoves him inside. And Harry's like,
okay.
He walks in and realizes he's been in that room before. It's the same room that they were trying when he went through the pensive into Dumbledore's memories. And they were trying all of the...
they were trying the Lestranges and Barty Crouch Jr. That's where they were trying him, in this huge courtroom. And so Harry's in that same thing for a little underage magic.
Right. And they've, instead of having it be like a normal disciplinary hearing with a couple of witches and wizards, they've called in the full Wizengamot, which I don't know. I've never, I'm assuming it's like the Wizard Supreme Court, but much bigger.
Yeah, there's like a ton of people there.
Yeah. Oh, but Dumbledore was removed from it.
Yeah.
That summer, because he's getting old and dodgy, obviously.
Because he's old and crazy. Thinks Voldemort's
back.
Yeah,
right? Freaking crazy. You gotta get him off the Wizengamot. Take away his Order of Merlin first class. Okay, that is what it is. So, Harry's like, okay. And he sits down in a chair that he knows is, it's wrapped with chains, and he's seen those chains, like, bind the person who's sitting in it, so he's not super happy about sitting there, but they don't bind him, but they do jingle when he sits down.
Yep.
Like, they want to bind him, but they're not gonna yet. And so he's, being tried. There's three wizards in the front row that are specifically addressing him, and so there's Cornelius Fudge, the Minister for Magic, Amelia Bones! Who is Susan Amelia Bones' aunt.
Yay!
And then a witch, with, I think she's wearing a black bow on top of her head and a pink cardigan. Is she wearing the pink cardigan?
Yep.
And,
there's something pink.
Yeah. The bow is black because she looks very much like a toad to Harry.
Mm-hmm.
And he thinks even the bow in her curly hair looks like a large fly dangerously close that's about to get eaten.
Yep.
And he uses this comparison, like, twice when talking about this woman. Because she will reappear. And then, down at the very end, taking courtroom notes, is Percy Weasley. And Harry tries to, like, make a sign of, like, hey! And
hey, someone I know!
Percy ignores him completely.
Yeah, Percy's like, it's like he's not even there.
Yeah, it's awful. And so...
Slytherin! I'll stop, sorry.
Seriously.
So Harry sits down... Is it Fudge in the book? Okay. Wanted to make sure that wasn't just a movie thing. So
no, it's Fudge.
The Minister of Magic is going to question him.
Right.
And says, you produce a Patronus charm. And Harry's like, well, yeah, but the... And then, like, Fudge...
cuts him off.
Cuts him off. Mm-hmm. Thank you. And just, like, says, well, you're guilty and stuff, and, like, whatever.
Yeah, he just accuses him a lot. And says, and eventually... Well, Amelia Bones does ask, you can produce a Patronus, and Harry says, yes. And she says, a corporeal Patronus, and he says, a what?
And they're like, it takes a form.
Your Patronus takes physical form, and he's like, yeah.
Yeah, and don't they ask what it is?
Or something? Yeah, I think
so. Like, yeah, it's a stag.
Yeah, it's a stag, it's
always
a stag.
They're like, really?
Yeah, that's very like, advanced magic, and he's like, I've been making it for a year, can we not expel me from Hogwarts?
Right, and they're just like... I can make a Patronus. Do you guys know that?
Ooh, oh my.
I can't even do that.
He is Harry Potter. Well. And so basically the trial just turns into this sort of sham where they're just accusing him of doing underage magic for the fun of it or just terrify his cousin. And I think he does say it was because of the Dementors. And I think this is when... Maybe it's not. No, I think she doesn't speak until Dumbledore comes in. But basically, yeah. They're like, you're crazy, kid. There's no Dementors.
They're like,
oh, this is a very... I think Fudge says, oh, this is a very clever story.
Yeah, like they're...
That you're making up that there were Dementors so you can explain why you use the Patronus charm.
Yeah.
And Harry's like...
Because he's like, because your, like, muggles will be able to see Dementors, right. So...
So there's no witnesses.
There's no witnesses. And, like, why would Dementors be in...
Little
whinging in the muggle world.
Yeah.
That makes no sense. They're all guarding Azkaban. They're totally under my control.
At some point, I don't remember when, the door opens.
And in comes Albus.
Oh, it's actually right at the beginning.
Albus,
because,
Percival.
Yes, Wulfric.
Wulfric, Brian Dumbledore.
Steps in. And I think that's actually at the beginning of the trial. And says, like, oh, hello. And Fudge is clearly unhappy.
Fudge is like, are you?
So uncomfortable. He's like, oh, yeah. So you got the notice that the time and place
had changed.
And Dumbledore says, actually, no. That message seemed to have missed me. But as I arrived at the ministry 5 hours early, but by harm.
Yeah. I think in the movie he says, but by a happy coincidence, I arrived at the ministry 5 hours early.
Yes.
So no harm was done or something.
Yeah, exactly. So he I don't think he does it in the movie, but he conjures up a large chintz armchair to sit in next to Harry.
He doesn't do that in the movie, but I love that it's in the so book. Great. And he's and, like,
yeah.
Check out my awesome chair, yo.
Bam. Chintz, also. God, of course he wants
so
chintz.
So awesome. I love Dumbledore. Well, top 10.
Harry keeps trying to make contact with him, eye contact, and he won't make eye contact.
He's Dumbledore top 10.
You can think about that.
I'll think about that.
Like, real top 10, or you're like, no, top like, 10, real, top no, 35?
He's in the top 35 for sure, but I don't know if he's in the, I don't know if he's in the top 10, top 10.
Okay. He's not in my top 10.
I'll have to think about that. Aberforth might be, though.
I'm kidding. Except for he practiced inappropriate terms on goats.
just
something we need to worry about. So basically, no, Dumbledore is there, and is sort of, like, snarky about the fact that they've called the full Wizengamot to try an underage wizard.
I just have movie lines running through my head
right now.
That's fine.
Fudge is just like, oh, so there wouldn't be any witness. Like, of course, a clever story to do this, like, say it was Dementors, because then there wouldn't be any witnesses, and Dumbledore is like, actually, there was a witness.
Ha-ha!
Ha-ha!
And Fudge is
hoisted
like,
by your own petard!
Wow. So Fudge is like, Fudge, and
he's like, no, there's no other wizards anywhere near Harry Potter. We've been monitoring the situation closely.
Yeah.
Why should Harry Potter have any contact with the Wizarding World? He only saved our asses by being a baby.
Right.
Let's punish him.
And, yeah, let's monitor him closely.
Yeah.
Because that's not Big Brother government.
Isolationist.
Yuck.
So then...
Go
ahead, your turn.
So then Dumbledore's like, but there was a witness, and then brings in Mrs. Fig.
Yay.
Who is just a nervous bag of bones. And
I think she's still wearing her house slippers.
She's wearing her house slippers. She comes in, and they're, like, asking her questions, but I think it says in the book, like, Harry wishes she could be a little more commanding presence. Like, be a little more confident for me, lady. Because she's like... Yeah.
She's stammery. She's nervous.
She's stammery.
She turns red a lot.
Yep.
When she comes in, Dumbledore gives up his chair for her, and then magics another one for himself.
And does it describe the second one he makes?
I think he makes just a similar one.
Oh, okay. And I believe it's also in the book, because I remember thinking it was just in the movie, but I think it's also in the book. When they're like, can you describe them? And she's like, well, one was rather small, and one was rather big. And they're like, not the boys,
yes.
The Dementors.
Oh, they were both very tall.
They were very tall and...
draped in cloaks. Wearing cloaks.
Wearing cloaks.
And I think maybe it's Cornelius Fudge. She's just like, tall and wearing cloaks.
Definitely Dementors!
Yeah, but then she goes on to describe the whole, like, happiness sucked out of the world, cold forever, no light kind of thing.
Yeah.
And she describes how Harry cast his Patronus and saved them, basically. And so then she's dismissed, and Fudge is just like...
Yeah, Fudge is pissed.
He's not happy, because he wants to get Harry Potter in a lot of trouble. He is. Irritatedly beatboxing.
And does Dumbledore say things?
I think Dumbledore kind of just does a summary where he's like, so, you know, there were clearly Dementors in Whittle Winging.
Right. Harry...
And this is, I believe, when the witch in pink starts going, him, 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 him.
Ugh, yuck. Cringes go up my spine. Like, I can't even handle it. She's the worst.
And so basically she starts accusing Dumbledore. Like, she's like, it sounds like you're saying that there were actually Dementors in Little Winging.
Oh, I just want to...
And Dumbledore's like, yeah.
Yeah, that is what I'm saying.
And Cornelius is like, no, all the Dementors are under our control in Azkaban. And Dumbledore's like, well, then we must clearly wonder why the Ministry commanded two of them to go into Little Winging.
Yeah.
And then, so there's just all of this, like, like, the little witch in pink is doing all this hem hem and asking these insipid questions where, like, you know she's being overly sweet. And Fudge is just angry as everything. And Amelia Bones is pretty, like, all right, okay.
Yeah, Amelia Bones is pretty awesome.
So basically Dumbledore's like, yeah, so proof that there are Dementors there, and you should probably deal with that, because that means that they left Azkaban without your permission, and Harry Potter should be let off. Cool. And clearly Fudge is like, no. But, they take a vote. More than half the hands.
Yeah, I was gonna say, and
are acquit Harry of all charges.
Yeah. So then Harry goes away scot-free. I believe he tries to talk to Dumbledore, and Dumbledore just kind of walks away from
him.
Just, like, basically ignores him, and Harry's like, oh, okay, thanks, bro.
Not cool. I mean, thanks for coming to my defense and, like, keeping me from getting expelled from Hogwarts, but...
But it would have been nice to have a quick chat.
Yeah.
And then Harry, I think, stays with Arthur, like, the rest of his work day.
I believe so.
And then when they're passing the fountain, Harry dumps his entire money bag into the fountain, because he's so happy.
Because he gets to go back to Hogwarts.
Let's go back to Hogwarts.
When they get back, I think Molly's made one of his favorite meals, and he's, like, super hungry because he could barely eat anything. And Fred and George and Ginny turn their celebration into a war chant that sounds somewhat like, he got up! He got up! He got up! He got... Imagine this as I'm driving to Madison. I'm, like, nearly dying laughing. Because there's this war... And, like, Mrs. Weasley keeps shouting at them to be quiet, and they just don't care. So, yay, Harry gets to back to Hogwarts. How are we at an hour and 45, and we have not even gotten to Hogwarts
yet? I know, right? We're gonna...
Okay, train.
Well,
anything happen?
Does anything happen in Diagon Alley?
The badges. The prefect badges.
Damn it. Okay,
we gotta do the prefect badges.
So, the owls come.
With their school books.
Do the owls come to Grimmauld Place?
Yeah. Hey, how come owls come to Grimmauld Place?
I don't know.
You could just follow the owls.
Yeah.
That's weird.
Well, apparently owls come to Grimmauld Place in tiny owl invisibility cloaks. Because I would find that to be adorable. And bring the school lists that they get every year. So, Fred and George will be in their last year, their seventh year. Ginny's in her fourth.
Yep.
Yeah. Ginny's in her fourth. And then Ron, Hermione, and Harry are all in their fifth year. So they get their letters.
It just says book lists have arrived.
Oh.
It doesn't say how they got there. Huh. But I mean, Hedwig can get there.
So. Right. So, like,
I don't know.
I'm confused. Maybe owls aren't a part of the secret keeping thing. I think I've broken this pen. But Ron and Hermione's are, have special things in them because...
You stripped this pen. This is like when a screw gets
stripped. I was going to say, I think I stripped
that. That's amazing.
I don't know how I did
that. I'm kind of proud of you. But also horrified.
Well, I also have this pen that's the exact same, so...
All right, fair enough.
I'll just keep pretending to strip this one.
Okay, great. Enjoy.
But
yeah, so, well, Ron and Harry are in the same room, and they get their letters, and then Harry's like, oh, I wonder who the new Defense Against the Dark Arts teacher is, and Ron doesn't really respond, and Harry's like, dude,
what's going on?
And Ron's holding in his hand a prefect's badge.
Yeah.
Ron's been made
a prefect.
Gryffindor prefect. And he's like, I'm Ron Weasley. I'm, like, super ordinary.
Yeah.
And Fred and George are like, hey, and they appear, and they're like, oh, Uncle Wani's a prefect!
Oh, you little prefect.
So Molly comes in, and she's like, okay, here, you're great, you have your book lists, and I have to go get new things for everybody.
Yep.
And Ron, I'll get you some new pajamas. Your arms are about 6 inches too short because you've grown so much. What color would you like? And Fred and George say, get him red and gold to go with his new badge. And she says, what? His shiny prefect's badge. And she hugs him and she says, oh, that's the whole family now. And Fred and George are like, excuse me.
Are we cousins?
And So she's really happy, and then Ron, like, swoops out of the room, and Ron hands, the, I think, Fred and George also leave, and then Ron hands the badge to Harry, like, I just can't even believe this.
Yeah.
And this really sad thing, Hermione comes in, and she sees the badge in Harry's hand, and she says, oh, good, you got yours too, Harry, I'm so excited, it'll be you and me, and Ron's like, no, it's me.
It's me. And Hermione's like, I was... Great. Totally gonna say that about Great. You, Ron.
Well, well just, done, Ron.
Yay! This is awkward. And so, yeah, Harry's just... inner monologue goes off, and he's like,
It should have been me.
It should have been me.
Why is it not me?
He's like, I've saved the school how many freaking times
right,
now?
I've defeated Voldemort on my own right, many like, times.
Why wouldn't I be prefect?
And what like, the heck?
Why does Dumbledore hate me?
Yeah.
What?
Why does everything bad happen to me? On? I'm Harry freaking Potter.
Right.
And I deserve some respect.
Exactly. So he's pretty much just flat out pissed about it. Like, I don't think he even has, like, a moment of reconciliation.
He really. Does, actually.
Oh, he
Maybe
does?
Maybe he doesn't in the movie, but, like, Ron leaves.
This isn't in the movie.
Oh! Because, his mom, before she leaves the room,
oh, Molly says Ron, I forgot about this part.
We'll get you something to celebrate. Like, can we get you, you know, like, we can't.
Because, like, Percy got an owl.
Yeah, Percy got an owl, Bill got something, Charlie got something, what would you like? And I think she's offering to get him, like, new quills or something, and he says, Mom, can I have a new broom? And she's like, because those are expensive.
That's really expensive.
And he's like, not a really nice one, but just a new one, like, you know. And
he's like, just one that hasn't, like, that no one's owned before.
Yeah, I think
like,
so.
He's like, it doesn't have to be a really nice one, I just want, like, a new broom.
Yeah.
Broom.
And so, after Hermione leaves, and it's just Ron and Harry in the room, Ron's like, I think I'll go tell Mom that I really want, like, oh, wow, I better go, like, wow, I can't believe I'm gonna get a new broom. I better tell Mom which one I want so she gets, like, the right one. Oh, I'll tell her I really want the Clean Sweep 260, I think it is.
I wanted to say 270.
Okay, 270. That's fine. I'm 265.
Okay, 265.
I really want the Queen Loop 265. Yeah, I'll tell, like, that one will be inexpensive, but it's nice. I'll go tell her that's the one I really want.
Yep.
And so when he leaves the room, Harry's kind of like, okay, I've been awesome, but I've also broken a lot of rules. And I think he kind of reminds himself that, like, Ron never gets any honor in his family.
Yeah, like,
and
he was
so
like...
when Ron comes back in, he says, well done, mate.
Yeah.
And he really means it. And it's just, it's really nice.
That is a really sweet moment. I forgot about that.
Book Harry is a slight improvement on movie Harry for book 5. But slight.
Slight.
Slight. Still not as great as, like, book 7 Harry.
Right.
book 1 Harry. Or book 3 Harry.
I was going to say, book 3 Harry makes
Book 4 Harry's pretty decent.
Book 6 Harry's kind of fun.
That's true.
He gets drunk.
Being surly with them. Snape is not the best.
No.
He really needs to... You know, I think that's part of the problem that bothered me about the epilogue, too, is that, like, we see this repetition of family, like, feuds. So Snape and James never got along, right? And then mm-hmm. when Snape meets Harry, he immediately dislikes him, essentially because he's his father's son. There's other reasons, but, you know.
But we gotta save those.
Right. But then the same dang thing happens, like, when Harry... You'd think that, like, we get to a place where we understand that, like, carrying those kind of animosities and... Mother piece of... What is the word?
Resentments?
Yes! That was amazing!
That was kind of amazing! I don't know how that happened.
That's amazing!
I don't know
how I'm so excited right now. that those carrying those animosities and resentments really just tear apart the wizarding community, and it's much better to be unified. But no. We're still at we're headed off to Hogwarts in the epilogue, encouraging our children to continue to hate the Malfoys.
Really?
Yeah.
Lame.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Granddad Weasley would never forgive you if you married a pureblood.
Yuck.
Rose, make sure you beat his, you know, beat him in all of his things so that he, you know, good thing you got your mother's brains. Make sure you don't let Serpius, I believe, is what Draco names his son. Scorpius.
Oh, of course.
Because you gotta just keep naming your kid after weird animals. Like, make sure you beat him in all of his classes. And it's just like, can we not just encourage the passing down of family bullshit?
It's interesting, because in the movie...
I don't think that interaction happened.
That interaction doesn't happen, but I think we see Draco and they're like, they just kind of like smile and wave a little bit. Like, it's not like, yay, buddy, but it's like, hey.
Yeah.
Yeah, like that, definitely, you know, like when you go to a high school reunion and you're like,
I actually don't go to my high school reunions.
Neither do I, but
I live in the same town that I went to high school in, so high school reunion is just like when I go to Target.
Yuck.
It's okay. I mean, I'm at where I'm at in life, you know? That's true. Like, I'm a master of divinity.
Yeah.
So, really, I'm basically Harry Potter.
That's true.
If you think about it. Master of the Elder Wand, Master of Divinity, Master of Death, whatevs.
It's true. You know the, like, dessert called Divinity?
I don't.
Oh. There's kind of like a dessert thing called Divinity.
Okay.
Apparently it's hard to make. But my godmother told me that while I'm getting my Master's of Divinity, she's going to master making Divinity.
Oh, that's so cute. Is this like a cake?
I think so. That's, I'm not really sure. It's something sweet that you eat.
That's really cute.
And then she's like, and then when you get ordained, like, we can eat it. And I was like, aww, Brock, you're adorable.
That's super cute. I don't know where we were.
Okay, so
Ron becomes prefect. Harry's supportive.
Should we just get him on the train and then...
They get on the train.
So they get on the train, and Harry's like, hey, we should find a compartment. And Ron and Hermione are like, we have to actually go and sit with the prefects.
Yeah, we have to go, like, meet up with the prefects for a while. I think...
And I think, like, they complain about it.
Yeah, and they're like, oh, it's gonna be terrible.
They're like, it's gonna suck. I wish I was back here with you.
I think they say, like, we get to leave eventually, it's just we have to meet with them first.
Yeah.
And Harry's like, oh... Cool.
That's cool.
It'll just be me and Ginny then. And Neville's like, hey! And he's like, cool. Me and Ginny and Neville.
Cool. Me and Ginny and Neville.
Although, again, Ginny's kind of a badass. Harry's being really judgmental in this. But he's a mopey little butt.
A, he's mopey. And B, it is his best friend's little sister.
Yeah.
You know, like...
They don't have a lot in common at this point.
Yeah. And, like, I have two older brothers.
Yeah.
And, like, I know my brother's friends...
Yeah.
And I feel like, kind of, I mean...
Did you ever crush on your brother's friends? Like Ginny does with Harry?
Not really, no.
Okay.
Yeah, nothing like, but, yeah, no. all of my brother's friends are great dudes.
Okay.
I've not come across that, but, like, my brother Ryan is 8 years older than me.
Oh, that
would
be weird.
So, that would be weird. And then my brother Ross, he's 6 years older than me.
Oh, that would be also weird.
So that would be weird. And then, like, so by the time I was, like, would be able to date his friends, a lot of them already paired off, and that was weird to me. But anyway, but, like, I know my brother's friends, and so, and, like, we were kind of buddies, but for them to be like, oh, I have to go sit in the compartment with Carrie and the not cool kid.
Yeah,
it'd be
exactly.
Like,
oh, and Neville's got a plant that his grandmother got him.
Oh, yeah.
A Nimbus Mimbletonia.
Nice.
And he's like, look at its cool defense mechanisms. And he pokes it with his wand, and it sprays stink sap over everyone in the compartment. Oh, including a girl in the corner who's reading a newspaper. We'll get to that in a second.
Oh, yeah.
And this is the moment when Cho Chang... Hi, do we remember Cho Chang? Cho Chang was dating Cedric. Harry wanted to take her to the Yule Ball because she's pretty.
Because she's pretty.
Because she's pretty. Likes her. She also plays Quidditch. So there's, you know.
She's actually pretty cool.
Looks and brains are involved. Yeah, she's kind of watered down in the movie.
She's very watered down in the movie. But in the book, like, she's a freaking Ravenclaw.
Right, which is not easy.
Which is not easy. So she's super smart. She's on the Quidditch team, which is awesome.
Mm-hmm.
And she's really cool to Harry.
Yeah.
Like, even in the fourth book when everyone's, like, down on Harry.
Yeah.
Like, she's still, really cool to him. Mm-hmm. And I think she's kind of, like, I think she knows he has a crush on her.
Mm-hmm.
And so she's, like...
But she likes him, too.
Well, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, she's just really cool. Like, I don't know. She's cool.
Yeah.
I like Cho Chang.
And so this is the moment when she, like, sticks her head into the corner and is like, oh,
hey.
Hi, Harry. Bad time? And he's like, yeah, I'm covered in stank sap and hanging out with the least cool kids in the school. Thanks.
We're, like, glad you're seeing me now.
And so then she disappears, and he's just like, oh,
he's like, this sucks.
So the girl in the corner who's reading a newspaper upside down is Loony Lovegood. Loony Lovegood. Luna Lovegood, who is a little, she's in Ravenclaw, she's in Ginny's year, she's a little unusual.
She's a little off.
In the movie, she's very, like, just sort of airy and enjoyable. In the book, she is straight up cray.
She is just, yeah. She's straight up cray.
She's straight up cray.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, she's just, like, she almost gets this kind of, like, Buddhist sense from her in the movies, where she's like,
oh. Yeah, where she's, like, weird, but, like, just spacey and yeah. kind of out there. In the book, you're like, who, what are you? Yeah. Like, what is this?
Yeah. Adjust your medications, please.
Please.
So, she's also kind of aggressive, like, Ron makes a joke. Oh, Ron and Hermione show up, and they're like, okay, we met with the other prefects. Guess who's been made prefect? And Harry's like, Malfoy? And he's like, yeah.
Yeah.
And Harry's like, ah, everything is unjust, and my life is full of suffering. And Ron's like, I know, but I'm already planning lines for Goyle to write. I'm going to punish him and make him write lines. I must not look like a baboon's backside. And Luna Lovegood loses it. Like, she cannot stop laughing and, like, choking out the words, baboons! Backside! And Ron is just staring at her like, okay. Yep. So,
this is what we're hanging out with now, huh?
This is the best you could do. I think that's pretty much it.
Well, and she's reading the newspaper upside down, and then they realize that there was a, like, cartoon or a game or something that...
They were ancient runes, actually.
Okay, yeah. That you had to turn the newspaper upside down for...
Yep, to read them.
Properly. To read them. So
to read the secret things written in them.
Yeah.
Which include... Harry wants to read this newspaper because he sees the name Sirius Black.
Mm-hmm.
Like, Sirius Black, a man unjustly accused, ? And he's like, bah! I want to read this. What is this newspaper? This is not the Daily Prophet. And so he takes it from her. And it's an article describing how Sirius Black could not have committed the murders that he was imprisoned for, because he is actually a singing sensation, whose name I've forgotten.
I know, I can't remember either.
But he's a singing, and so some witch has identified, like, no, I saw his concert, and then I was enjoying the after party with him on the night in question.
Yeah.
So Sirius Black could not have committed those murders because he's a singing sensation. He's just been masquerading as Sirius Black. It's this stage name. And Harry's like, And all of the articles are like that, where it's just, like, crazy conspiracy theories. You know, we compared it to The Onion, but I think it's a lot more, like, Weekly World News.
That's what I was searching for when I was coming up with The Onion.
Like, I was trying to, like, remember the line, hold me, bad boy.
Yeah.
Do you not know the Bat Boy musical?
No, yeah.
Okay. I don't think I was anywhere near how the actual tune goes, but that's fine.
No, it works. Yeah. So, that's them on the train.
They get off the train. They're getting their luggage.
Are we going...
We're just going to get to the reptilian horses.
Okay, by the way, you can ride them in Lego Harry Potter.
What?
I'm not even kidding you. I found a random place, and I was like, ah! And you can fly. It's amazing.
Okay, so they get off the train to get on the carriages that pull themselves. Remember from previous books 3 and 4, they ride carriages that pull themselves, except for the first years they take boats. Over the lake full of the squids. So that's good. But so they get off, and so they're, like, about to load their... Or no, the luggage gets taken up, so they're going to find a carriage, and Harry dead stops. Because this year, there are these horrific-looking horse things pulling the carriages. They have, like, these bat-like leathery wings.
I was gonna say, it's almost like a horse bat.
Yeah. And they have no muscle. Like, their skin just adheres right to their bones. Their eyes are, they're all completely black, except for their eyes are bright white.
Mm-hmm.
Like, unseeing. And Harry's like, what the, what?
What is pulling the carriage?
And I think he asks Ron, and Ron's like, nah, nothing's Ron's like, pulling the carriage.
Nothing.
Important note, in the movie, he comments to Hermione, and Hermione says, nothing, there's nothing pulling the carriage, Harry.
It's
and,
pulling itself, like always.
Right. And here is the thing. What do we know about Hermione Granger? What is Hermione Granger's favorite book in the whole world?
Hogwarts: A History.
Do you think Hogwarts: A History would fail to cover how the carriage is moved? No, it would absolutely have covered it.
It would totally have said.
So, yeah, screw you, movie, for moving the line from Ron over to Hermione just because Emma Watson's a superior actor, because you basically contradict your your character.
I was going to say, because Hermione would totally be like, well, according to Hogwarts,
a history. Exactly. If you'd ever read Hogwarts, a history.
We don't have to read it. You're around.
Yeah. So, Harry's like, ah, oh, there's giant, terrifying horse things pulling the carriages. And Ron's like, oh, no, there's not, dude.
Dude, what are you talking about?
And so, and he's like, come on, hurry, or we won't get one. And Luna is, like, at Harry's elbow, and she says, don't worry.
I can see them too.
I've seen them since the first day I've arrived at Hogwarts. You're just as sane as I am. And I think, you know, like, in the movie, again, it's this very, like, you're just as sane as I am.
It's a funny line.
Yeah, it's, like...
But in the book, you're like, Harry has gone insane.
Harry's lost his mind.
Because Luna is insane.
So creepy. Just creepy, creepy, just weird. Just
weird, like...
Super creepy weird.
Yeah.
And Harry's like, I think that's where we will end.
Okay.
Or did you want to keep going?
No, I say the end there.
Okay, because it's been 2 hours.
It has.
We're not even 1/3 into the book. Sad. We're going to be in trouble.
I feel like there's a lot of, though, like, just emo Harry.
That's true. Yeah, it's true. There's lots of Harry being emo.
Yeah. So, thank you for listening.
Yay.
To part one of Harry Potter and the Order of the Phoenix. Mm-hmm. Robert.
Book 5.
Hope you're enjoying this.
We are.
Because we are. And, yeah. Stay tuned next time for part 2 of the many parts of this book.
We need to come up with a clever title for Harry Potter and the blankety blank of the blank. Harry Potter and the Order of the...
I don't know. I like pizza.
Okay, Harry Potter and the Order of the Pizza, in honor of what Carrie and I usually eat. Although tonight we had pasties from Potter's Pasties.
Delicious.
Amazing. Also, they're British foods and they're named Potters, so that's awesome.
Yeah.
They deliver. Bite Squad's awesome.
It is! There's a really nice delivery dude, too.
Yeah.
He's really nice.
Well, I tipped him well, so that's good.
Oh, good.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, well, we're terrible at signing off.
We really are. Until next time, same lightning bolt scar time, same lightning bolt scar channel.